This is PFW in Progress.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. To me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He was one of the most feared guys in the city. I mean, he was first locked up at 11 and he was doing hits for mob bosses when he was 16. But what Jimmy really loved to do was steal. I mean, he actually enjoyed it. He was the kind of guy who rooted for the bad guys in the movies.
Paul Perillo.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Paulie did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It's a very good system. There was Jimmy, and Tommy, and me, and there was Anthony Stabile.
How you doing?
Frankie Carbone. Wait. And Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
And Andy?
And his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No-Nos, and then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Andy Hart.
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
Some guy named Tom.
Funny how. I mean, it's funny about it. Right. Funny how. I mean, I understand, because maybe it's me, I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. I'm funny how. I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
PFW in Progress.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Okay, PFW in Progress, Tom Casale here with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. They're eating pizza, so I'll kick off the show here. It's web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 for Craig in South Carolina. I'm sure he's got that number into his cell phone already programmed in.
Is he gonna call?
I don't know. Craig and I got in an argument yesterday, and we should start off. PJ took the argument the wrong way, I think. Craig was saying the Cowboys didn't have a good offense, and that was the argument. I think they have a pretty good offense. So we'll start off with PJ's email, because he's calling me out. He said, hey, Paisano, time to call out a typical Cowgirl fan. Now, keep in mind, Tom, that I have Eagles season tickets, too, so I'm obviously very biased, but here goes. You were talking yesterday with lots of emotion, may I add, about the Cowboys being able to beat the Pats. You say this after you say every week the AFC always beats the NFC. You also say that the Pats didn't beat anyone good yet, but the Cowboys did because they beat the Bears. I never said that. Let's not forget that one of the nobodies that the Pats beat also beat the Bears. Tom, I just find it very odd that you are always beating the drum of the AFC as far superior to the NFC, and now because the game is getting closer, you are starting to get excited, and there is no doubt that you will be predicting the Cowboys to win. I give the Cowboys all the credit in the world for starting out 3-0, but let's not put them in the Patriots class yet. I'll take the Patriots offense over the Cowboys, me too. I'll take the Patriots defense over the Cowboys, me too. And I'll take the Pats coaches over the Cowboys, me too. So, Tom, let's keep it real here, please. The one good thing about it is you got my juices flowing for that game already, and my hatred for those bandwagon fans is starting to come out. Keep bringing the heat, Paisano. You're keeping it fun. Well, first, I don't think the Cowboys are going to beat the Patriots. Let me go on record here. I said they're going to be a challenge because I don't think the Bengals are going to be a challenge. I think the Patriots are going to rip through them like Swiss cheese. My point was they were going to be the first real challenge that the Patriots have because I think they have a pretty good offense. I think their coaching staff stinks. I think their defense stinks. I think it's better than the Bengals, but it stinks. You're right, they play in the NFC. If they go to the Super Bowl, they'll get killed by any AFC team. So, and no, I'm not going to predict them to win because I don't think they're going to win. I predict who I think is going to win, and I think the Patriots will beat them. So, as usual, PJ, you were wrong.
Wow. That's Tom Casale, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, did anyone ever hear me say that they were going to beat the Patriots?
Well, here's the one thing that I would really say that they mistook. It was that you were saying that the Bears were a good win or a good team. I think we were talking to Craig specifically about the fact that the Cowboys' offense wasn't any good. And he was saying because of the teams they played, and we made the comment, look, Chicago's got a lot of flaws as a team, but their defense is pretty good.
Right.
And I think by any measure, I would call it a top five defense. Would you not, Andy? I don't think you were here for that part.
Probably.
Yesterday. I think Chicago's defense is pretty good. Obviously, it's hung out to dry.
Banged up now.
It's hung out to dry by its offense, and now they had some injuries, too, with Mike Brown gone, Tommy Harris gone. Briggs was banged up in that
Vasher.
Game Sunday night. Vasher was out for a while.
Those are Pro Bowlers.
But that's a pretty good defense now. So, and the Cowboys obviously struggled a little bit early in that game, offensively. But before those guys were hurt and out, except for Mike Brown, who didn't play at all, they started moving the ball, and I think the Cowboys have a pretty good offense. I think that was the only point Tom was trying to make.
Yeah, and the whole thing about, I think he took two different arguments. Me saying they haven't played anybody, I think, was our heated argument over them going 16-0. Is when I then I said they haven't even played anybody yet when we were talking about 16-0. So I think the Patriots have played tougher teams than the Cowboys, because I would say the Jets and Chargers are better than the Dolphins, Giants, and Bears. I mean, those three teams are terrible right now. But so we're back. You guys were in the locker room. What's going on? Well, first we got to, I should say, Craig, stop being a baby. Jesus, we just got an email in from Craig. You guys apparently have had enough of me. See you, Craig from South Carolina. We're just kidding with you, Craig. God almighty. You know, we had a good argument yesterday. You got something else stupid to say? Call up, say it, and we'll
Don't get sensitive and be Gary.
Come on.
You can be sensitive if you want. That's fine.
Listen, Craig, we can't be getting on you more than they do at EEI or the seven other radio stations you call. Come on now. Give us a call. We'll patch things up.
Andy, you're full of crap.
We can't control Gary's finger on the blow-up button.
Yeah,
we love you. It's Gary that does it.
We didn't tell him to blow you up yesterday. You and I were having a nice discussion about football, and Gary, he blew you up. So what's going on? Anything?
They're preparing for the Bengals.
Okay.
No, there wasn't. It was one of those days where there was a lot more media than players.
A lot more for
most of the locker room period. Tom Brady spoke. He got a big gathering. Roosevelt Colvin spoke. I thought he had just the interesting quote. Somebody asked about the whole red zone defense thing. Is it easy for Bill to, you know, keep you guys grounded when he has something like that to throw at you? Oh no, Chad Brown. And Chad Brown says every week Bill's going to heap us a nice big serving of humble pie, no matter what's going on. So. You know, it's obvious they're going to rally around something that needs to be fixed, and they're still saying they left points on the field on offense, and they can't get off at important times on defense. So, but, you know, it wasn't all that interesting of a locker room period, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I thought it was a particularly non-interesting locker room. Just there's not a whole lot going on, obviously, right now. Plus, the players, the way they come and go, can make it difficult in there on a Wednesday when there's so many media members.
Right.
And, you know,
I mean, for example, Sammy Morris has now become, like, next to Brady, the most go-to guy in the locker room. There were people waiting behind his chair to talk to Sammy Morris, and then when he came out of the bathroom and went to his locker, there must have been 40 people around him. And I'm sorry, he's done a great job. He's been better than I expected. But Sammy Morris is now, like, the face of this team and the go-to guy in terms of quotes. That's ridiculous. And the other issue is no one thinks there's a new energy or vibe on this team.
Well, before we get to that, because I do want to touch on that a little bit, but one of the other things that was kind of funny was Nick Kazier.
Oh, yeah.
Had a
sizable, did we find out what he was talking about?
Well, I know Mike Preston was here, who, you know, some of our listeners might know because occasionally you'll see his name in Patriots Football Weekly. He's a European correspondent, basically does, you know, and whenever.
That sounds cool when we say it that way.
Well,
huh?
He is. He's our European correspondent. That's what he is.
Do we have a European news desk?
So whenever we have some sort of, you know, story that relates to NFL Europe or, you know, anything of that nature, he generally does it. He was
talking. Well, I guess
talking,
he doesn't have a job anymore.
Right. Well, he had a shirt on today, and he said he's going to put a little RIP underneath it. But he was talking to Kazier about Canada and stuff like that. And
he really was talking to him about Canada?
All of a sudden, he looked around, and there was 15 people surrounding him. He said, I just figured this was, you know, one of the.
That was a safe interview, huh?
Yeah, he figured an offensive lineman, and he's a quiet offensive lineman at that. So that shows you when there really aren't a lot of different places to go, and there's so many media members in there.
Where is he from, Ontario?
Yes. Same as.
Is that near Edmonton?
Wayne Gretzky. Brantford, Ontario, I believe he's from.
See the rumors out there, Paul? Rumors out of Canada. Patriots Broncos will play next year in Edmonton, it was, right? Is that what I said yesterday?
Alberta, yes, that is.
That stinks. Are we going to Denver anyway? That's another one of our trips we have to make? So now we're going to.
I don't know. Are they on the schedule?
Well, let's talk about this in football terms quickly. Laurent Landry, 12 tackles against the Giants last week for the guy you thought was overrated.
Still is.
Let's talk about this in football terms
for
the fans.
A couple weeks ago.
It's tough. I mean, ask the Chargers, who had to do it a couple years ago, to come to the East Coast. That we already have four West Coast trips. Now we're throwing in a trip to Alberta? That's tough for any football team to do. I mean, it's hard for us, and we don't do nothing. We go out and eat wings and beer and, you know, and...
Luckily, they'll be coming off a 16-0 season, and maybe no one will care. Might not even have Bill Belichick as the coach.
But so next year is just a throwaway season? We got to go all over the world? And
I don't know. I mean, it's clear. Well, and it's,
I think
it's
that's
just a rumor,
mistake.
First of all.
Yeah, but I think it's a bad mistake, especially next year. When you add in all those trips that the team already has to make, then now make them go to Alberta,
right.
Canada, I think that's a bad decision.
My guess is it's a rumor that never comes to fruition. And are we going to China? When are we going to China now?
I don't know when you guys are going to China, but if you guys don't want to talk about the news, I guess I'll leave it up to me. Patriots signed cornerback Antoine Spann to practice squad, released Jamara Williams.
I thought you said news.
placed tight end Jason Rader, who I wouldn't know if he came in here and punched me in the face, on practice squad reserve injured list. So Antoine Spann back with the team. Anything?
No. Except he walked through the locker room with one of those caps on his head, his ankles taped, and a towel that barely covered his junk.
and Andy was noticing.
No, not really. It was Paul who noticed and pointed it out to me. that drew a funny line that I can't use on the air.
Well, anything else?
No.
All right,
I thought Bill was had some interesting stuff on the Bengals that I didn't read in the preview. Who wrote the preview? You?
Me.
You butthole.
What did he have?
They rotate offensive linemen? I've never seen a team that rotated eight offensive linemen in my life.
I didn't read that anywhere. I know Levi Jones has been injured.
But he said just much like a lot of teams do defensive line, he said they've been
rotating offensive
linemen.
I might ask him tomorrow about it. But I was going to ask him actually if it was because of injury. Then he answered it saying some of it is because of injury.
But, I mean, everybody always talks about continuity on the line.
Yeah.
And if they're rotating, maybe that's why they're not running the ball very well.
I read all of Hobson's articles.
Bill has done it.
But
in
at
the past,
one position.
Early in the year, he's done it.
But not at, like, eight guys?
Tell me where you can find that online.
But I think he's done
Patriots.
It.
Patriots.com.
I think he's done it with seven.
He did multiple positions rotating?
If you go back to 04, I think, early in the year, I think I think the right side, wasn't it?
Definitely tackle. But
I thought it was
I just think it's because guys are injured. He said the center's injured and Levi Jones.
Well, then he totally misrepresented in his comments.
So
that's
five.
Why I didn't even
and
think
then
of
two
it.
More.
I didn't even think of it in terms of the way you're talking. But I guess if he used the specific
he
way,
he compared it to a defensive
like defense,
line
because I thought of it more like the way because.
Well,
the way
then it's not newsworthy in any way.
I thought
but
it was more.
If they actually have, even if it's just seven guys that are healthy and they're rotating all the time, I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
And again, it might be why they had 9 yards on 17 carries.
I was trying to find a way to phrase the question, but you can't really ask the running question with it because then he won't answer it. You just got to ask about the rotating.
Rudy looks like Rudy. Really? Because I thought he was good, and now he looks like crap.
Right. He looks like Rudy, except for the fact that he didn't play in the second half of the game.
RUDI looks like RUDY. He looks like he shouldn't be playing on the football field. Terrible.
I would agree with that. I mean, he was not even a part of the. I mean, he was hurt in the second half of the game, and not
17 carries and 9 yards.
Right. No, he was ineffective early in the game. Then he got hurt, didn't play. So I don't really see how that characterizes as looking like Rudy, unless you want to take it as literal.
He had one good game. He had
unless
two
you
bad
take it,
and one good.
Do you want to take it literal and say Bill doesn't think very much of Rudy Johnson if he thinks you know he looked like Rudy?
But,
17 carries for 9 yards. That's Rudy.
It's a possibility.
I mean, obviously, I don't think that's what he was talking about, but.
For the Saints fans out there listening, the team just got better. Jason David out for 4 to 6 weeks. That goes down as one of the worst signings probably ever.
Well, maybe they can pick up D'Angelo Hall if the Falcons cut him.
Well, Mike Ditka just wants to.
Yeah, well, if they get Mike Ditka as the coach, he'll just cut him. Paul, we were talking yesterday about the internet, the new website.
Yes, we should get to that.
And fans have written in. We actually have two emails. From Larry. He said, Tom is right, too many bells and whistles. Not better, just new. Cannot listen to PFW in progress and read anything on the site. Cannot fast forward PFW in progress. Not as good as it was. Now, that Larry said that about, then he said the TV show, great new set on PFW TV.
Nice.
So he likes the TV show, and he does not like the site. And we also have an email here from Nick, he said, I do not like the new interface at all. It is harder to access all the media I look for except Patriots Today. That is very easy to find. And now that you mention it, the Ask PFW section, I haven't seen it since the interface changed. I don't even know where to look. That's Nick in Las Vegas. So according...
Well, Fred's really upset about this because...
What the fuck?
He says people aren't really even looking at the website and then... you know, they're obviously not figuring out what they're looking for or why. First of all, specifics he's looking for are people that have problems. But a couple that we've had, one of that PFW in progress that says that you can't fast forward or rewind PFW in progress, you absolutely can. It's right there. All you have to do is click your mouse on it and pull it to wherever you want to go, whatever part of the show you want to listen to.
What about the other aspect of that?
The Ask PFW is...
No. That guy said you also can't listen and read other stories at the same time.
Oh, you know why? Because it probably comes up right on the screen, so you'd have to open up another browser. You just open up another browser. Because you know how it doesn't pop up anymore?
It's just part of the screen.
It's like one of those porn sites that we have. It just goes right on the screen, so sometimes
Indeed. When
I try to go somewhere else, it stops the movie I'm watching. I can't stand that.
It's unbelievable.
Sad as it is, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know. I thought he was going to make a joke, and he's sitting over there going, yeah, I know.
Because during the slow parts of the movie, you want to go to go see something else, and all of a sudden the movie's gone.
I know from experience, dude.
Well, and the other part, Fred was saying, the SPFW is right at on the left side is obviously all the links to news stories, and the top has a rotating news story in it. And every Tuesday, SPFW is going to be one of those rotating news stories.
If it's not the main one, it's the little ones.
Yeah, and you can look at the little boxes where the squares are, and this is why Fred was a little upset, because people haven't really taken any time to look around and find things. It's changed. There are aspects of the website that are different. I personally... I'll be honest with you, I have not really liked a lot of the changes. But the stuff that we're getting complaints about aren't really valid because they are there. And SPFW was right up there yesterday. Andy did it. It was one of the main stories. The little boxes below the main photo, one of those is always going to be rotating in, and it's SPFW on a Tuesday. So direct those to Fred and tell him specifically what about the website you don't like. And we'll see if we can get things
correct. Or if anybody likes it, you can email in, too.
That's true. With specifics you like as well.
There are, in Fred's defense here, and there are 1.4 million people that look at the site and about 8 people that wrote in saying that they didn't like it. So that tells me that there's more people that like it out there than people like us.
No, it tells you people like me wouldn't email either way.
You don't write in to say you like it.
But people like me don't email in either way. I've hated things, and I said, you know what I should do?
I
should tell somebody, and you know what I do? I click off the site, and I go get something to eat.
Tom would.
I email.
No, and I think he's a very small percentage.
I just feel better with myself if I can email and complain.
I agree with you.
I think they'll just stop reading it, stop using it.
I agree with you, and that obviously hasn't happened. So that's my point. Because 1.4 million people were on the site.
Maybe it could have been 1.8.
Well, it's still a huge jump over what our old numbers were, so...
Just because we're back in action.
Just because they love us. Larry goes to everything. The TV show, the website.
Yeah, Larry's one of our big fans. Where's Craig from South Carolina? Come on, Craig. Cut the crap. We know you're listening.
If he doesn't want to write.
He's probably on EEI right now.
We do not need him. If he doesn't want. If he wants to be a baby about it, let him go off on his own. We don't need him.
This is just like the Joey Feep situation. Joey Feep's been listening for years.
No, but seriously.
He was right. D'Angelo Williams stinks.
PJ just ripped you. Should you stop coming on the show? You know what? You guys obviously have had enough from me. I'm not
going to
be on the show anymore.
Certainly,
you could substitute me and Andy for that on any given day, right?
You guys are a trip.
That's what we do.
Plus, we got enough Craig sound bites we can sprinkle them in.
Right.
People think he's still around.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
No.
He's going to the pokey.
He's going to the pokey.
That's one of my favorites.
Now, we were also talking about the...
All right, that's enough of Craig.
We were talking, I'm sure there's a lot of people glad that Craig decided not to call in anymore. Actually, someone emailed in once and said, I'll buy you lunch if he stops calling in.
Hey,
so
got
he
lunch
stopped.
Tomorrow.
But where's that guy who said, if Craig stops calling in, I'll buy you lunch? We got rid of him. Where's
Craig's,
our lunch?
Craig's gone. We want lunch Friday.
We were also talking about the lateral
yesterday,
and Nick comes in and he says, how do you think Belichick felt about the Troy Brown to Antoine Harris lateral?
I suppose that was the
time and the place, since the offense wasn't exactly a point-scoring machine. Well, he was just asking, how do you think?
Well, it's not the same situation because the Patriots could not lose possession of the football on that play.
Right.
It's a touch that happens. If someone fumbled on that play, it would not be a fumble. There would not be a change of possession. And Belichick talked about that at length after that play.
Plus, it goes back to one of his little core rules that he likes to say is most important thing is when you start the play with the ball is that you end the play with the ball. Patriots didn't start that play with the ball. They were on defense trying to block it. So that's it's a totally different thing.
Yeah, and Dave.
Plus, the other thing we talked about yesterday, how we talked about Bears and Ravens need big plays. That Patriots team needed big plays. It needed those types of plays, or it would not have won a Super Bowl. This Patriots team, its big play is line up, snap the ball, and throw it where you want it to Randy Moss or Wes Welker.
And you believe they could do that on every play.
16 times.
Without that play but in the AFC Championship game, they probably don't win.
Right. And that team needed those types of – they were the Ravens. They were the Bears. You know, they needed special plays.
Andy, I just got to say something. We have a phone call, but just – you know, I was watching the show last night.
What'd they do now?
No, I just I mean, it's making me sick. It's what? Like Fred – you're the new Fred. I mean, everything they do, it's like, this is, come on.
Call him like Jesus. I see him.
And you're right, man. Fred's scared to death. For those that don't watch the show, let me tell you what's going on here. Fred's been driving the ship all these years. Now he's getting nervous because there's too many passengers on the ship.
Yes.
Andy has jumped right on the ship. He's like Fred. Anything that happens is okay. I feel like Borges because I say they're going 14-2 and going to win the Super Bowl easy. Paul, he wants to get on the ship, but he's not quite sure yet. He's putting a foot on.
He hasn't
and
sold
then,
out like me.
Right, and then Andy says something too over the top, and Paul leans. So Paul wants on the ship, but it's not quite his style.
For the record, I have the Patriots already at 3-0 better than the 85 Bears.
Yes. And for the record, we have no lunch.
I don't understand that characterization, to be honest with you.
What?
I've been saying 16-0. And I don't understand how that's a hesitation.
But then Andy will say something, you know, like
Andy says stupid stuff, and when he says stupid stuff, you have to call him on it.
If Fred doesn't,
or I'm always right.
Tell me I don't call Fred on his stupid stuff.
No, I'm saying that's why you're not completely on board because when Andy says something stupid, Fred sits here shaking his head. Yes,
I rarely say dumb things.
Here's the only thing I don't.
You sucked that bone dry.
I think we all
that's
talk
a dumb thing.
We all talk about different stuff, and we all have our different little quirks. The one thing that people make fun of me about that I don't like is when they say that I say they're going to be 16-0 because I'm a homer and I'm biased. I hate that. I hate when people say that you only think good things because you're biased.
Who said that?
Yeah, I don't know if you were listening to any of the emails yet. I think we got a phone call yesterday that actually said that. It's nice to see that. Paul's on
board
now.
It's nice to see that you've joined the homers. That's just a joke because this is homer radio.
But that's. That's the one thing that
if
I
anything,
take as a
most
criticism.
People know you as anything but Patriots.com, Paul Perillo.
But that's only because of Fred's idiocy.
Well, plus your past track record.
And again, every time that we talk about this and we realize how much more of a fan I am than Fred, that whole theory gets blown out of the water.
You're more of a fan than Fred?
By far.
Speaking of more of a fan than Fred, there's no free lunch on the way. Craig from South Carolina is on the phone. Craig, you're back?
I'm back, so you guys can bite me.
Well done, Craig. That's the attitude you should take.
So what do you got for us?
Well, isn't today the day that the NFL usually will announce their fines against players for, bad hits and whatnot?
I don't know if they announce it. I didn't see a FedEx on number 75's chair. That doesn't mean there wasn't one, but, usually today would be the FedEx delivery.
If it's any consolation to those who, like myself, the game wasn't covered down here in the sticks of South Carolina, I did listen to it on the internet, though. Pathetic, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to get my Patriots one way or the other. But last night on NFL Live, which I recorded on my DVR, I watched it in super slow-mo on my 52-inch plasma. And
are you bragging?
He was definitely blocked into him.
Yeah, but he was far away.
Wilfork was on the 17 when number 57 for the Bills dove at him to try to slow him down. This dude, like I said, number 57, he landed on Wilfork's left leg, which kind of stopped, Wilfork's a lot of his progression. But, he's a big boy. He's got momentum. He started spinning to the right while he was still in the air, and by the time he got to the 15-yard line, his helmet was looking at the sideline. So if he stuck his elbow out intentionally, he's real good. Secondly, it wasn't a shot at the knee or below the knee. He actually hit him about 4 or 5 inches above the knee. So if the NFL supposedly has all this high-def, technology, I don't see how they can find him.
Well, they can. I mean, and I expect that they will. I mean, whether
he was called for a penalty,
whether he was 3 inches from the knee or 2 inches from the knee, whatever, I think they're going to look at it as a shot to the knee.
It's below the waist is the penalty.
Which I don't agree with. I have a major problem with the penalty.
But that's a different argument.
Right. By the rules, he's going to be fined. I think had there not been a flag, he probably still would have been fined.
Well, the way I look at it, if the guy wasn't looking at him and he was blocked into him, you know, whether he gets fined or not, in my eyes, it didn't look intentional. You know, and I rewound the thing probably 10 times, you know. I mean, if the guy's not looking at the quarterback and he's looking at the sideline because he's spinning in midair, you know, I mean, he's got to have eyes on the back of his head in order to, you know, intentionally make a shot on him like that.
Do you have a Comcast DVR?
No.
What cable service do you have?
Down here, it's Charter Communications.
Does your DVR stick when you try to rewind and fast forward?
Every once in a while. It's just the nature of the beast.
Mine sticks all the time.
Mine
I hate
sucks.
It.
The ones for Comcast up here suck.
It'll pixelate every once in a while, too. That sucks. But for the most part, you know, I get a really good picture out of it. The only thing that...
Oh, Gary.
Once again, Craig gets blown up. That's good stuff.
I think he's still talking right now.
We don't have a lot of emails because they're all complaining about the website. Mark with a C from New Hampshire wanted to tell Fred that the new Patriots website is awful. Also, Tom, are you from Dallas or are you just a fan from covering them? I would have to say to Tom, Roy Williams is awful and he might be worse than Adam Archuleta. Well, Roy Williams is awful, but he's not worse than Adam Archuleta. That guy is one of the worst football players in the NFL right now. Yeah, he's a terrible, terrible football player.
Adam Archuleta might be the only player in the league that wouldn't have returned that blocked field goal at the end of the first half for a touchdown. He allowed himself to get caught on the angle by a tackle.
Tom, you're just a contrarian, right? Isn't that why you root for the Cowboys?
Huh?
Rooting against the Giants?
That's basically. You were just rooting against the
Giants. Yeah, and when I was a little kid, I rooted for him a lot more than...
You jumped on the board early, then you just stick with it.
Yeah, now I'm more like Michael Parenti when it comes to the Yankees. I hate everything about the Cowboys except for like three players.
Right.
We have another phone call. It's Shannon in Seattle is on the horn. Shannon, what do you got for us?
Good morning. Well, it's good morning for me. It's good afternoon for y'all.
That's right.
I know, and you know, that South Carolina is a terrible, terrible state. But Craig just made it worse.
That's true.
Because if that would have happened to Brady, all Pats fans would be looking for a suspension.
Yep.
And
I tried to be as good as I could, Shannon, and I stayed out of that conversation, but that is the one thing that kept going in my mind. I wonder how he would feel if this was Jamal Williams diving at Brady's legs like that. But,
well, that's just it. I would have thrown a long neck at the TV. And apparently I'm not as good as Craig because I only have a 42-inch plasma. But, no, Wilfork, and I'll defend the Pats till the end and all that, but, I mean, come on. He threw the elbow out, and maybe he wasn't trying to go for the knee exactly, but he was looking to hit the guy.
He was definitely looking to hit him.
See, the way I looked at it is there was definitely an impetus made by the blocker that knocked him in the direction of Lossman. I just felt like he knew where he was going.
Right.
You know, this whole thing about his head was looking one way. The quarterback didn't all of a sudden show up there, and he was shocked that the quarterback happened to be in the pocket.
Right.
I think that he could have done a little bit more. I don't think it was a vicious cheap shot. I just think he could have done a little bit more to avoid what ended up happening.
He was trying to knock him down.
I think he was trying to knock him down.
But those guys have been wearing helmets since, what, they've been 5 or 6. They know how to look through them. It doesn't matter if their head's pointing one way, they're looking the other. So, but the other thing, I was watching the game, and I'm not sure if you guys ever – listen to the broadcast at all, but Kevin Harlan was he was 4 down linemen, 2 linebackers, and the nickelback is Gay. Randall Gay.
Oh, man.
Hilarious.
Andy would have loved that.
I spit up my cocktail. It's just unbelievable.
That's the kind of stuff that we love on PFW in Progress.
Well, I got the DirecTV Super Ticket or whatever, the NFL ticket, and they show the shortcut to the games, where it shows the whole game in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's where I caught it, because usually I'm in and out doing this, that, watching the game, and watching it last night, and, oh, God, it was so funny. So. But anyways, you guys take care. I got nothing else.
Well, that's thanks, Shannon.
All right, we'll talk to you, Shannon.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
We'll see you next year.
Shannon, he's one of our better emailers, and phone callers.
That's funny. And the Nickelback is gay.
Oh, Randall Gay.
Randall Gay.
Gary, you know about Staff Sergeant Zakai and for tomorrow?
I have emailed him, yes.
Okay. So let's take a break. We'll be back shortly.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Supreme Omelette Egg with crisp, thicker-cut pepper bacon and Colby Jack cheese. Hurry in today for a whole lot of sizzle, because this irresistible combination of flavor won't be around forever. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. For a chance to win big, visit DunkinDonuts.com today to win great football prizes. Prizes include 42-inch plasma TVs, signed official game balls and JetBlue flights. And don't forget to try a Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Price and participation may vary. No purchase necessary to enter to win. Offer valid 8/20 to 9/30. Must be 18 years or older to participate. Must be a U.S. citizen. Limited time offer. Visit DunkinDonuts.com for official rules and a chance to win.
Hi, this is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot Specialty License Plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots License Plate today.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
You never know who will host, but we always know Fred's in charge.
You will respect my authority.
Patriots.com radio.
Respect my authority.
We're back, PFW in progress. Okay, we just heard from John Hanna. That's Gary, I had no idea what you were doing yesterday, but now that I know, that's one of the funniest things ever.
Well, Andy brought it up.
I mean, he sounds exactly like it's that amazing guy.
And for the record, Fred's not in charge today. There's no Fred today.
Where is he?
I don't know. One of those days where I saw him leave with a notebook under his arm to
Fred,
go to a meeting.
Fred, won't be seeing him no more.
Yeah, he was actually leaving when I was coming in. So
got some highfalutin stuff to do.
So what are we doing now? Anything?
So the expanded A team showed up instead.
And we're performing like the F team.
Except for we're performing like Fred's in charge.
Holy crap. Can you say Jesus Christ on real radio?
Yeah, sure. He's a person.
No, you're not supposed to. Actually, Jerry Remy yesterday said for the second part of that, sakes, and they bleeped it out on WEEI.
Christ sakes, you can't say that? Really?
Because on EEI, I heard a fight in the afternoon where Sean McAdams said, Jesus Christ, like he was angry. It wasn't
should have bleeped that.
He was in a fight with Pete Shepard over hockey.
Why can't you say Christ sakes? What's the? I never knew that was a.
I'm just telling you, it's
like in Goddamn, don't they bleep out God?
Should they be?
By the way, there was air quotes around that for anyone listening.
What?
We're actually swearing on the air right now.
We're not real radio. We're on the internet, and as long as we don't,
you can't say mother. You know,
we really could.
He's talking about freaking Skype like it's the last.
Excuse me.
Well, now, have you guys read these Greg Easterbrook articles?
No.
They're causing
Well,
a lot
I read
of,
the first one.
Well, there's a second one out now that basically says they destroyed the tapes because they have proof. They might have proof of Super Bowls. And he talked with Danny Aiello.
Greg Aiello.
I always call him that.
Isn't Danny Aiello the guy that sang the anthem
sang
at the
worst
Jets game?
National anthem ever at the Jets game? Greg Aiello. And he was asking him questions. And he claims that he didn't give him a straight answer. To me, it was, listen, we just destroyed the tapes and that's it. But
plus, he's a PR guy. They always have a not quite straight answer.
But he
answer.
Was like putting like the exchanges through the emails and, his, and he compared it to Nixon and all this stuff. So anyways,
I got to agree with Patriots fans now. Easterbrook must have something personal.
Well, yeah, because he didn't really have anything. And we got the X-Man here who's chiming in. Well, I just wanted to write in wondering if you guys can chime in on this Greg Easterbrook guy on ESPN's Tuesday Morning Quarterback section. Who is this a-hole and why does he hate Belichick so much? Really, he just can't let it go about our Belichick. Did Bill steal his lunch money or boink his wife or something? This guy won't be satisfied unless Bill suffers the same fate as Benito Mussolini, hanging by piano wires in the middle of Times Square to be mutilated. Most people moved on and continued on about his conspiracy theories. Those last two articles are absurd, like the last one, how it's fishy that the NFL is destroying evidence too fast and that they might have cheated in the Super Bowl. Now, if people were to read the other Greg, as in Greg Garber, also on ESPN, sounds like they're talking about a totally different people here, absolutely night and day. I think you get the picture. Who is the moron, and can someone please shut him up? Lower links to the two stories. I didn't read the Greg Garber one, but I have read the Easterbrook one.
Now, this is a second one.
Yeah, he wrote another one. It was yesterday.
I'll have to read that.
And it's basically the same thing. It's just, you know, he wants to know why the tapes were destroyed so soon. And the NFL's claim is that so the teams know that they're not there, probably because they don't want a leak like they had for the Jets thing. And he's not buying it, as Fred would say. So, and
that particular small part, that one sentence, I agree with him. I mean, if you don't want to leak, don't leak it.
Right.
Number one. Number two, you either investigate or you don't. And you don't tell me you could have investigated in less than a week's time.
That was his claim, that you couldn't watch all those tapes.
They're the NFL. They got 600 interns. All you do is put the tape in.
So you're telling me that they were able to review 7 years' worth of tapes? And
I just don't think
days?
The tapes are that long, personally, because I think it takes about 6 seconds every play, if that. Scoreboard, signs. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi.
I have no idea what was on the tapes.
It's
I
not a whole game.
I don't have access to it.
My guess is it's exactly what we saw on Fox, and it's literally 7 years of that. They watched it because, I mean, how many plays are there in a game? 60? Mm-hmm. So 60 times 6 seconds.
And who's the intern?
360
seconds.
Is it
me? Because after 5 minutes, I would have gotten bored and said, there's nothing on here. It's all the same.
I'm hoping they didn't do that.
That's what I'm guessing.
But I think they could have watched all of it, and it was literally the same exact thing 852 million times. And they just said, okay, that's all we saw. We destroyed it.
Well, Easterbrook, obviously, you can tell whether he's right or wrong. He doesn't want to let this go.
Right.
He's definitely
looking. Well, and that part, I agree with Andy on, and I agree with Patriots fans. I think this guy certainly seems to have a hair across his butt about the Patriots and about Belichick in particular, and he won't let it go. And I think that's wrong, too.
It's so ridiculous.
We do not know why.
No.
And no, I
don't even really know who he is.
I don't know who he is either. I always thought he was kind of a satirical writer.
He writes for the New Republic.
I don't know what that is either.
The New Republic, remember that guy who got in trouble for plagiarizing all those stories? They wrote a
Ron
movie
Rogers?
About him. No, Shattered Glass. Stephen Glass, I think his name was. He wrote for the New Republic, where he made up all the stories. It's a political. It's like a real political. I don't know, because I don't read this kind of stuff either. It's just I know it from that movie that I saw. It's like
I know the movie you're talking about.
Yeah, someone who reads the New Republic, chime in and tell us what that's about. It's like it's a political magazine. Like it is. It's like satire and that type of stuff. And for some reason, now he's writing for ESPN.
But if it's satire, then no one would have gotten in trouble for making stuff up.
No, it's not all. It's just some of it is that, I believe. Like you said, satire. I don't know if he.
I
likes
always
that
thought
part.
That Easterbrook was a guy who wrote these, you know, comical, satirical
quirky
looks at the NFL, and wasn't necessarily meant to be taken seriously. But these latest pieces are absolutely serious, in nature. Otherwise, the joke's all on us, and he's just having fun with us. But
I don't think so.
I don't understand what he's doing. I kind of agree with the fans. I mean, what are they supposed to do with Bellator? I mean, they're not going to be happy until they ban him for life. I mean, that's foolish.
Yeah, I mean, either have proof of something or, you know, you can't just keep writing these articles with no proof.
And since the NFL is not really seemingly interested in finding any proof.
I wouldn't think
nor should they be.
Yesterday we
write
were also
something that's the truth.
Yesterday we were talking about coaches, too. And Alex says, hello, guys. Tom's rant about Paul Hackett was absolutely hilarious. Just for the record, Rich Kotite's record is 41% and is better than Norv Turner's at 40.6%. Anyway, you can't beat Dave Campos 3 straight 5-11 seasons for 31%. So those are the percentage of the coaches. Kotite is actually a little bit better than Turner. Like we had said, he was probably the most successful out of those three.
And
but
Kotite really, really only had one horrendous season. He went 1-15.
Right.
You but I, like I said, I think he lost like his last 10 games the year before too. So I believe like that's why he's the punchline. I think like his final, he was 1-25 over
well,
his
I
last
26
games.
Well, I know Carroll did in 94. The Jets were. Let's see if I can remember.
Can you believe it?
Six,
it's football time. Here
6-5 and ended up 10-6. I mean, 6-10 or something like that. Yeah, they were 6-5. They lost their last five, something like that. And then Kotite came in 95 and 96, and 96 was the 1-15 year, and then Parcells came. That was pretty, they were a pretty bad stretch there for the Jets.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem to have gotten much better over the years,
crap,
to be honest. Dave from Alexandria, Virginia, we were talking about 16-0, and he said, since you guys are already talking about the 16-0 season, I'm curious. At what point would you start pulling starters in the final games to avoid injuries? If you have a postseason home field bye week locked up by week 14 or 15, do you pull everyone you can in an abundance of caution, or do you play it out and go for the 16-0 full steam ahead?
I would be in the middle somewhere. I'd start my guys every week, unless they were hurt. If a guy had, you know, a lingering injury that I could clear up with a couple weeks off.
That's the only thing that matters to me. If
otherwise,
healthy,
Tom Brady starts, Randy Moss. Now, I might be pulling them in the second, third quarter sometime.
When I have the game in hand.
I want to continue to be successful. I want things. Because to me, if you take, say you take 2 weeks off from games, then you get a bye week. You've gone almost a month since you played competitive football. I don't like that. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. I'd be worried that I'd come out flat and get my butt whooped in the opening game of the playoffs.
I would go for it. If I'm 14-0 and I think you owe it to yourself, you owe it to the players, you owe it to the ownership, you owe it to the fans, because that's it. You go 19-0, there's no discussion.
Right.
Best team ever. You'll always remember something that special. I just feel if you get beat in week 8 and go 15-1, you can live with that.
Okay, let me.
If you get beat in week 16 or 15, you're thinking we were so close.
Let me play a little devil's advocate here. Do you owe it all? Do you owe it to yourself? Do you owe it to everybody? To win the Super Bowl, to do the best that you can to win a Super Bowl, or the best you can to go 16-0. That
to win the Super Bowl.
That might not necessarily be the same thing.
But I think they are.
No, I'm playing devil's
advocate. No, I think
I'm playing devil's advocate.
Said,
I want to go 16-0. That's not, you know. Just bear with me here.
But I think if you had
what
to choose
do you think is
the Super
best,
Bowl.
What do you think is the single season? This is a different argument now. What do you think is the single season best team ever?
That I've seen, it's the Bears that I've seen. I was kind of young.
What do you think is the best?
What?
What do you think is considered the best?
It's the Bears, isn't it?
I would say the Bears.
Yeah.
There's an undefeated team out there that.
Right.
Right.
So, to be able to say, you go 19-0, hands down, that's it, end of story. I don't think that's true. I think there's an argument to be made that someone's going to look at it a different way. Now, I think this team, if they roll the way they have this three games, absolutely. Now, if they all of a sudden things change and they stumble a little bit and they win some and and they don't look that good, who knows? I don't know what the answer to that question is, but I don't think necessarily just because they went undefeated would make them the best team, because I don't think people think Miami's the best team. And they
I think they would consider them the best team ever.
Especially nowadays,
certainly
with all the
dynasty
media.
Dynasty would be the best team
ever. That's the thing,
because
they already have the three.
Right.
And
they were so close last year, and then you get
another one
and you go undefeated.
That's a different thing. I would agree with you on that, too. And now I think the Patriots, if they go undefeated, they're going to be considered the best single-season team ever.
But the issue is going to be, let's just say they roll. They do what I think they have the potential to do. They beat the Colts 42-17. They blow up the Colts. They roll right through Dallas. But then people say, well, that was a terrible season. There was no competition. You know, the Chargers went from 14-2 to 8-8. Or, you know, do people say, well, there just wasn't any competition that year? So we don't know how good they were.
Well, that's what I'm saying is you never know exactly. I think that's what people look at that Miami team.
Right.
They didn't have a very tough schedule.
But how did they look at him immediately?
I was three.
Come on. You weren't three. Because that would be, I think, immediately people are going to say best team ever. Then there's a chance they look at it differently.
But you know that. But that's what happens all the time. I mean, you know, people look at every team that happens that year as the best team ever. And then they go, oh, well, you know what? We might want to rethink that. How many times does a game finish and people say that's the best game ever? How many times do you hear that?
I don't know.
Oh. You heard it after the AFC Championship game last year. Best game ever.
Yeah, but I'm sticking with that. That's the best game I've ever seen.
The best game I've ever seen. Now, that's a different thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, but that's all I can judge.
It is the best game I've ever seen in person.
I can't judge, you know, great games from 50 years ago.
The only other one that would come close to me is the Carolina Super Bowl.
Right.
Those two games, to me, those stand alone, maybe 1 and 1A. And, you know, let's give the win in the Super Bowl the bigger stakes.
I don't know. I couldn't see it. They were like ants running around
but
the field
was,
from where I was.
I mean, that was a phenomenal game, that Carolina Super Bowl.
There was a game that day? I was sitting next to people in China.
I got something to brighten up your day. We have a lot of people chiming in about the website, and I'm not going to read them all. I'll just save them for Fred. They all say that it stinks. But Dave from the Philippines, Andy, get ready. I emailed the webmaster months ago about these problems, and whoever the idiot that answered tried to blame it all on my PC.
Oh my!
He ignored the fact that I specifically said the facts that I specifically said, and I tried from four different computers. So please tell him that I told you so.
I agree. His name is Chris Ferreira, and he passes the buck better than anyone in the history of the world. Anytime you ask him something, he says either "ask so and so" or "that's not my responsibility."
So Chris, you are under fire here
from
at PFW in progress
from the Philippines.
From the Philippines. Philippines fans.
Okay, humor aside in taking shots at Chris, which, by the way, I'm all for, of course.
Me too.
We're taking the side of an emailer who says he's been emailing these problems into the webmaster for months when the website has been around for less than 3 weeks.
I'm sure he had other problems with the old one.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
I just like the fact that he's making fun of the webmaster.
Well, which I said, Tom, I'm all for, of course.
Chris Ferreira passes the buck. That's the bottom line.
He's going to be mad when we get upstairs.
He's going to be really upset at you.
I'm going to get a middle finger flipped off.
You guys are going to get – he's going to really be upset at you.
He's going to call me a jerk.
Simon says, thanks, by the way, for
– I did that when I read his email, too.
Simon says, get it?
Well, Simon says, thanks, by the way, for taking my note about getting the podcasts up earlier. It's definitely been better lately.
That's
so
Chris
there you
Ferreira
go, Chris. My question for you is in regards to Randy Moss. I haven't heard really anything – out of him in terms of interviews or post-game press conferences and stuff. Is he actively staying out of the public eye and media, or am I just missing something? Also, do you guys really think Green Bay is worthy of the hype behind starting the season 3-0? Do you see them continuing their success into the season?
I do not think Green Bay will go 16-0.
No.
I think
Green Bay will do well to finish with a winning record. How's that sound?
Could be.
What about Moss? You guys are in the
Moss
locker room.
Moss is not in the locker room.
Right.
He's not talking.
And as we said yesterday, he told us he wasn't going to talk much.
Yep.
He's lived up to his hype all ways.
He basically, everything that he said on that draft Sunday.
Which I laughed at.
Has come to fruition.
Yes.
He said that we were going to see things that we've never seen before.
Yes.
Check. He said that he wouldn't be talking too much.
Taxes.
Check. the impact that he's had on the offense has been immeasurable.
Check. You know, I know you were all over Phil Sims, fell in love with what he was talking about this morning.
You're writing
a book about it.
More of a Pulse story, but yeah, you're right.
I thought it was interesting, too, the way he compared Vince Young and Randy Moss into terms of the way they change an offense in a game and all the, you know, what defenses have to do to focus on them. I thought that was an interesting comparison because I think Vince Young is unique and you have to defend him very cautiously, I guess, and that's what you have to do with Moss. If you put three guys paying attention to Moss, well, Pager's going to beat you with the other 10 guys on the field. And same with Vince Young. There's enough talent on that Titans team where if you truly say, we're just going to load up and have three guys spy Vince Young, one on the inside, well, you know what? You're going to lose because Roydell Williams is good enough in that situation to actually beat you.
Is that it?
Okay. Speaking of okay, have we talked about that?
What?
The cheap shot from OK Magazine at Tom Brady?
What's the cheap shot?
Well, it's the cover today that Fred was all mad about, Bridget Moynihan mm-hmm. with the baby on her arm on the cover. And it, the cover words are, life without death.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's a cheap shot.
Yeah, that's a cheap shot.
Big time cheap shot.
You know,
I don't like the words.
Yeah, and we should...
I said Paul, yesterday should, I have no problem
I don't,
with her,
yeah, right.
And I don't. I still don't. I still feel the same
but
way.
But the words are...
But the words are terrible. I think the magazine should be ashamed of itself.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it was one of those... it's obviously one of those tabloids.
Yeah,
next to what it says, Britney, did Britney hit kids or whatever.
Right, it's on the supermarket little thing
but
next
that's
to the
where
register.
Those, that's generally where those photos wind up, you know. A people Sometime, or an us
I don't
or
think
an
people
okay.
is quite as...
I think they're all
this
garbage.
Tells me okay is a little closer to true tabloidism.
I think they're all garbage. And I think that's where those, you know, as I called it this morning, that's what the pretty people do. You know, celebrities, they exploit their children and put themselves on their cover and, you know, they sell the photos, whatever. I don't care if it's for charity or whatever, but I don't have much use for it. But that's what they do. So I don't have a problem with her doing
what do you mean
it.
Mean by you don't have much use for it?
I mean, it's not something I would do with my life. I wouldn't want my children on covers of magazines and stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I also wouldn't go the other way, though, and cover them with a paper bag
oh, God,
and
no.
like try to hide
no.
every
I'd do
last
anything for
step.
Money, especially if it involved exploiting my kids. Mac from Somerville is answering Paul's question from yesterday. On yesterday's program, Paul inquired about the single-season receiving record for touchdowns.
Oh, yes.
Tom was correct in guessing it was Jerry Rice. Rice snagged 22 TDs in 1987, so that's what Moss would have to break is 22.
He did that in 87?
Mm-hmm.
So he did that in only 15 games, too? Wow. Or maybe even less than that. That was the
say,
strike
isn't
year.
It less than that?
Well, he may have played in the games. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That's a heck of a season right there.
That's unbelievable.
He says amazing.
He played in the games. It wasn't Joe Montana.
No, but you know what I'm saying? The strike games. There was three strike games. They only played 15,
no, I know.
Counting the three games
yeah.
with replacement players. And I don't know if he broke the strike
right.
or crossed the lines or whatever. He could have done that in 12 games. Could he have done that?
Or maybe he had like seven in the strike games.
Because
he was Jerry Rice on the field with some shoemaker, literally.
Touche.
He said, amazingly, the next highest total in a season is 18, held dually by Sterling Sharp and Mark Clayton. A bunch of dudes are tied for third with 17 in one season, including Randy Moss, who had 17 receiving TDs in two different seasons. So I guess he has done this before, Andy. One being his rookie year.
Who said he didn't?
You said he's doing things you've never seen before.
I've never seen it. I didn't cover those Vikings.
And the question was he going to end up with more than 20? And evidently he's never done that before.
I don't think he will.
I don't think he will.
No, well, that's what we all said. But that's great stuff. Because I was looking in the record and fact book. It doesn't have touchdown receptions. It just has touchdowns in the single
Useless.
Season. And obviously the running backs are at the top of that list with 28 and
right.
26.
And this is another question for Paul because we're dating back a while here. well, no.
Thanks, Tom.
You know, well, I figured you know the answer to this.
Leather helmets.
During the Celtics' prime, both in the 60s with Bill Russell and the 80s with Larry Bird, did Boston fans and media ever draw their attention away from the Red Sox? I'm amazed that the media remembers more the impossible dream and Bill Buckner's mistake than the Celtics' championship seasons. Will the 2004 World Series be remembered more than these current Patriots?
Well, in 86, the Red Sox weren't the institution that they are now. Let's start with that. Even right. when the Red Sox, I mean, that was a great year for Red Sox history because of they went to the World Series and should have won it and all that. But nothing has been like the last 5-6 years in Red Sox. I mean, they've set an attendance record annually for, you know, how many years in a row? Andy, do you know?
No.
5 or 6, 7 years in a row. This has been a little bit different. Right now, it's total Patriots and total Red Sox. They split the time. But the Red Sox will always be one. And if the
right.
Patriots continue to win, they'll be 1A. But when Belichick and Brady leave, in my opinion, they'll go back to Celtics-Bruins status. And whatever one of those three teams happens to be better will get the most attention behind the Red Sox.
Right.
That's how I feel about it. Fred yells at me all the time for that.
Plus, let's be honest. The Red Sox, if you're interested in it in any way, can become more a part of your life because it's every single day. I mean, you're living a soap opera up and down for, literally 9 months.
Don't you guys just think, though, it's just never going to change because of history?
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter what the Texas Rangers do. they're never going to unseat the Cowboy. You know what I mean? It's just,
but that's history.
That's history.
Exactly.
So,
right.
like, the Patriots were, were bad for so long, and people just...
But the theory is, could there be a new generation of history? Like, these kids now that only know the Patriots as great... And
but
then they have kids and raise them to
but
be
I understand
passionate.
That, but aren't those kids, don't their like parents still take them to the Red Sox
probably.
Games? The Red Sox
that's,
are still
that's
good.
That's the thing. I think if the Red Sox stunk, there'd be a chance.
Right.
But because
I agree with that.
The Red Sox are competitive, and we have no reason to believe they're not going to be competitive moving forward, I just don't think there's really much of an opening there.
Jerry Rice actually had 23 touchdowns in 87, by the way.
Had one rushing?
No, 23, well... Oh. Actually, yeah, I should. It just said that's scoring. Maybe it was a. Maybe one of them was rushing. That's a good point.
And the other thing about '86 is that was the year where they were all good, right? The Sports Illustrated cover, like the Bruins, the Celtics, the Red Sox, they were all in the playoffs. Celtics winning championships. Red Sox could have won a championship. Patriots in the Super Bowl. So
'86
was really split.
They
then.
Had all those sweatshirts and T-shirts. City of Champions.
It was really split then. You know, like you could focus on all four.
Right.
Now it's two. Let's be honest. It's flat out two that are even in the conversation.
The Bruins weren't good then, but the other three teams were all.
They made the playoffs.
Well, they did, but everybody made the playoffs. It's
Bruins,
not like it.
Bruins don't make the playoffs
it's not like
anymore.
It is now. But they got knocked out in the first round. They got swept four straight by Montreal.
Hey,
are you looking up something, Paul?
I'm just trying to find out more about that season.
We got a pretty good email here from Jeff. We were talking about the Oklahoma State thing, Paul, yesterday.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a little funny because Bobby Reed was. Considered a great quarterback coming into the season. So I started to think, is there more to this? Is that reporter actually right? Is there more to this than they're letting on? And she actually asked Gundy, you know, point out my factual errors at the next press conference, and he wouldn't. Now,
right. See, I think he did in the press conference.
But
he had three specific things that he said, that's not true. So if he's lying, he's lying. But I don't see why he has to go back. I saw that she was trying to defend herself.
I just think he could have handled it better.
I could give you the transcript of what he said. I mean, he said, blah, 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 that's not true. You know, the such and such about the guy transferring, that's not true. And evidently she wrote that stuff. So I think this it's one of those things where he definitely could have handled it better, but it sounds like the column was a cheap.
Well, he's admitted he could have handled it.
A compilation of cheap shots.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's more to Bobby Reed getting benched than playing one bad game against Georgia. To me, that's a guy who was picked first team all Big 12 by Sporting News before the season, gets benched after one game. That doesn't make any sense to me.
What about the game against, didn't they lose to like Troy?
Yeah, their defense gave up like 600 yards.
Well, I mean, they were losing like 34-7 in the third quarter or something like that, so the offense wasn't doing anything either.
I know, but I just, if you got a quarterback that's considered that good, and after 3 weeks, I'm just saying there might be something else to it. I don't know. I don't cover Oklahoma State. It was odd to me when Bobby Reed was taken. I thought he was injured, and when they found out that he wasn't, I was surprised that they had decided to go in another direction.
And it also seemed, again, I'm not certainly no expert on Oklahoma State's situation, but the column indicated that he gets these ticky-tack injuries and won't play through them. He's not tough enough to play. So evidently. Maybe that's part of the reason why he wasn't playing, and it has nothing to do with, any threat to transfer from the backup or, you know, anything like that.
Well, we have some insight.
Oh, by the way, Jerry Rice did have one rushing touchdown that year.
We have some insight from Jeff C. He says, I didn't get a chance to listen live yesterday, but I caught you guys talking about the Gundy rant. I'm probably one of the few, if not the only, lifelong Pats and Oklahoma State fan, so I will fill you in briefly on some of the backstory. The Daily Oklahomian newspaper the column appeared in is owned by the Gaylord family, Andy, who are the biggest financial contributors to OU Athletics, Oklahoma. So the newspaper writes puff pieces about OU football and glosses over negative stories, while they always write negative stories about OSU and their players. So there is more to this than just one bad story. This has been brewing for some time. And yes, Gundy was the quarterback, while Barry Sanders, Thurman Thomas, and yes, former Patriots first-round pick Hartley Dykes were on the tee. So back to the Patriots, since this is PFW in progress. Since I can't think of much to complain about, I guess I'll engage in some good old-fashioned ball-washing. All apologies to Jake Steele and Andy, but I'm the captain of the 16-0 bandwagon. Before the season started, I felt that this team had the best chance since the 85 Bears to go undefeated. They're balanced, deep, and they have the most players where an argument can be made that they are the best player at their position in the NFL. Brady, Moss, Will Fork, Seymour, Copen, Thomas. Don't you guys feel that the talent on this team compares favorably to the 85 Bears? A quick question for Tom, I love talent, Casale. Who was the best quarterback in the 2008 draft? Brian Brohm, Matt Ryan, or my pick, Andre Woodson? You guys are the best for us out-of-state fans. I've been on your guys' bandwagon since the days of Dave
Crisoli.
Until next time, I'm Dave Crisoli. Take care.
So, I don't know. You guys think, well, Andy does. He thinks they're better than the Bears.
Yep.
I was younger then, but I just don't ever remember a team that went through the entire playoffs without giving up a single point.
But see, I think the Bears' defense was better, but I think this team is better.
And I think the Patriots' offense is far superior.
I mean, who was their receiver? Willie Gault or something?
Willie Gault. They had
McKinnon.
Dennis McKinnon.
As I said on the radio show, that Peyton guy was pretty good.
Henry Moorhead, Matt Sui, and Peyton in the backfield. McMahon, stunk.
Don't even.
But not even the same conversation. I also think you have to take it like in the context, like when they had that defense, nobody knew how to defend. You know what I mean? Like at that time, that defense was so scary because people couldn't block it. They didn't know how to throw against it, so no one ever had a chance against them at that. You know, those two seasons right there. Then obviously, people started figuring out how to go against the 46 defense. And you know, if they had that same defense today, it would still be good. But if they ran that same scheme, it probably wouldn't be as effective because you have tape on it.
Right.
They've coached against it. But it's tough. I mean, I think it's hard.
I just think this team is so well-rounded from coaching to offense.
Well,
defense,
here's the thing, though. Let's just pretend they're playing a game. The 85 Bears would have a great chance to beat this team because they do the one thing you need to do. They would get pressure on Tom Brady.
Without having to sell out.
Right. They wouldn't have to blitz all the time. So that would be something in their advantage. I agree. This offense is better. They have the much better quarterback. Right. And the Patriots could load up against
Peyton. Defensively,
Lawrence Maroney would get killed.
Defensively, it'd be a very interesting
chess match.
You look at, the Patriots, everybody considers them the best defensive line, but you start stacking them up against that defensive line, it'd be, with Dent and don't forget, people think of Refrigerator Perry as kind of a punchline now.
No,
but
he was good.
He was a player.
He was Vince Wilfork in his day.
Right.
McMichael and Hampton and those guys.
Singletary in the middle.
You know, playing in front of a very active group of linebackers that could do a lot of different things. I'll give the secondary to Chicago. I think it's a very even match with that front seven. But when you're talking about Fensick and Plank and Duerson, I mean, they had a pretty good secondary. That's a great debate. I guess we need to have football personnel people that obviously know a lot more about that. I'd love to hear Belichick talk about that.
But you could also say them
Belichick
against the Colts.
Unplugged.
Like the Bears against the Colts, like Manning and that offense, too, would be an interesting matchup. So it would be interesting to see a lot of different teams play each other if we could do that.
We need Bill Unplugged on that.
Yeah. We also need the season to play out. Because if they lose three in a row, then we stop talking about the 85 Bears and we start talking about, is this team going to make the playoffs?
And just quickly, I honestly believe this. I think Matt Ryan will be the first pick in the draft.
Andre Woodson, by the way, a good call.
I like Andre Woodson.
See some of that game the other day?
Yeah, I've seen him play. He has a nice touch on the ball. He has a very nice touch on. I think he's going to be a top five pick, but I got a feeling now that Ryan, he's going to have a huge year, and they're going to use he played in this pro offense because they brought the guy from Green Bay in there.
Right.
So that my gut tells me Ryan will be the first pick in the draft, and Woodson is a very good player, and Brohm, he's having some trouble this year. But
that'd be kind of funny if the first pick in the draft came from here, and no one would really
a BC quarterback,
but no one would really care. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're going
to
have the top
even
player
care
in the
go
country,
watch
right? And no one really.
It's funny, how differently the different parts of the country react to the college football scene. I mean, I obviously hate BC. That's a different reason, but he's good. He is very
good.
There's
no question he's good.
I would wonder what they're doing in terms of you play a team like Army last week and Matt Ryan's throwing the ball 55 times. That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Right.
But, what are you going to do? They're going to be 7-0 before they play their next game against the team with a pulse.
And then they'll lose.
I don't know.
That's what they do.
That's a pretty bad schedule this year. I don't know if they'll lose.
They're going to be tough.
They got a couple of tough. They play at Clemson, I think, and at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's not that good.
I say at Clemson, they lose.
At Clemson is a game they could lose.
That's what they do. I'm going with history here. Right about on the top of that hill.
What they usually do now, they play Florida State and Miami at home. their usual thing, they'll lose one of those games, even though they're better probably than both of those teams. They lost to Miami last year.
We have one more quick email, then we'll take a break. Mac is back. He said,
Mackie's back.
He said, Paul, you were correct about the shortened 1987 season. Jerry Rice had 22 touchdowns playing in only 12 games
that
year.
That's amazing. Oh, and by the way, he only had 65 catches for the year. 22 of his 65 catches were touchdowns. That's an amazing season. Well, I wonder why we don't know more about that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we have a lot of good emails left, so we'll be right back and we'll get to them.
Tom Casale hit on the over this week, so he's got some big plans for the leg.
I'm going to take some of my winnings and buy you a nice gift certificate to a farm that'll help you grow some balls.
Patriots.com Radio.
Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's got to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Tom Casale had only a few requests before joining the PFW team.
Where is the Nintendo?
We don't have a Nintendo. We got a ColecoVision plugged into the black and white TV.
Luckily, he stayed anyway.
Oh my God, this is like a third world country.
Patriots.com Radio.
PFW in progress. Tom Casale back with Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. Andy, say something. I have
got a mouthful of something. Jesus. What's going on over there? Are we going to talk about the Bengals game, or are we just all not really all that worried about the Bengals? You sucked that bone dry.
We can talk about the Bengals if you want. They're an explosive team, Andy.
He almost said that they can score in a large number of ways. he was this close to saying it.
And then obviously, we know who all the playmakers are. You know, Carson, TJ, Chad, you know, Rudy's. You know, Rudy's been
Rudy's
Rudy.
Apparently, Rudy is a guy who averages a half a yard a carry.
Big and fast and can score in a large number of ways.
Well, Andy, the emailers don't want to talk about the Bengals game. No one said it. You know what I mean? Like, no one's even writing in.
I mean, they got some offensive talent that could put up some points on you.
And like we said, the key here, if the Bengals win, they don't have any pressure on them. Right. This is, it's almost like last year when we were saying the one thing the Patriots have is they're great in this spot. The Bengals can play loose. They don't have anything to lose.
Yeah, they come out, they win the toss, they go down the field, touchdown. Well, they might have a chance.
Yeah, they get up like 14-0 early.
Yeah.
The Patriots will come back on them, but at least that gives you a
right.
You got the crowd into it. See, the thing that they did, remember Minnesota, Paul? That crowd was so loud for one play. They stopped Corey Dillon on that first down, and that place was blowing up. The next play, boom, it was Gabriel, wasn't it, who took the slant? And we never heard from him again. See, the Bengals can't have that.
Hey, Gary, I got a question for you, mascot related. How come our mascot doesn't run on the field and jump on drunks who run on the field?
I cannot answer that question.
Did you see the clip of the Kansas City mascot, which I have appointed as the best mascot in the NFL by far? Their in-game entertainment with that guy is tremendous. He puts on a show. Now, I think he could get sued for diving on a guy on the field, but what does our mascot do to get fans riled up?
Not very much.
All right, next email. Aren't you like the director of that kind of stuff?
I have nothing to do with the mascot.
I believe that title would go to Fred Kirsch.
So send those emails if you think the mascot sucks to Fred Kirsch.
I would think Cincinnati's only shot here is forcing turnovers. Bill talked about
that's
it a lot today. That's their defense is very good at it.
His boy Chuck Bresnahan.
Whether it's by design, by scheme, by technique, for whatever reason, they're at the top of the list in turnovers forced year in and year out. So if the Patriots go down there and they're a little bit sloppy with the football and they give that defense a couple of stops, because I don't think that defense is going to force any punts. But if they turn the ball over two or three times and allow that explosive offense a couple of opportunities to give it some help, then I think they could spring an upset. But I really think that's the only chance. No turnovers in this game, and I see the Patriots putting a lot of points on the board and the Bengals putting some points on the board.
Okay. Matt from Quincy's back. He said, I emailed you guys a year ago and said that Matt Ryan would be a first-round draft pick, and I stand by that. But slow down, Casale. I don't think he's going ahead of Brom. Still, it's good to get some local love. Great show. I've heard top 15 already.
Everybody's reeling us in. Slow down, Casale.
It's amazing.
It's like a whole world evolution change. It's unbelievable.
We
used to be the guys that they had to talk about. You know,
normally Tom would have said, he plays at BC, he sucks. Let's be honest.
No, I mean, look, that would be me. I would be saying that. But he this guy can play. I'm not a huge BC fan, but he can play, no doubt.
All right, now Michael Vick's in more trouble.
That's
positive for marijuana.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We just
says when? Yesterday?
It says ESPN.
In jail?
Vick test positive for marijuana. What a mess. Love the show, guys. It's all on the subject.
Then that's when they smoke it.
From Christian.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah, Michael Vick is going nowhere fast.
Yes.
That guy Buster Poindexter's coming after him now.
So
it's over.
Who has a more bleak future, Mike Tyson or Michael Vick?
Mike Tyson.
No question about it.
I agree with you. He ends up dead.
I was going to say, a more bleak future, Mike Tyson. I mean,
I guess we all end up dead, but I'm saying Mike Tyson ends up dead
sooner
than later.
Mike Vick's future isn't looking too great right now.
No, but I just feel like
not compared to that.
Tyson is spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
He's wacko, drugs, problems, everything.
And when he can't box, like now that he can't box anymore,
he's going to end up either drug overdosing or getting shot in a dark alley somewhere over some drug deal gone bad, or he will have
Did you ever hear the story about when he was the champion, what he did when he went back to Brooklyn?
He beat somebody up?
Yeah, what he used to do when he was a kid. They helped.
Right.
They used to help an old lady like with her groceries. Then he punched her in the face and took her pocketbook, $32. That's when he was champion of the world.
He did that after he was champion?
He was the champion of the world. He went back to the old neighborhood, and his friends wanted to go do so. They helped an old lady, and he punched her in the face and stole $32 or $38 or
I remember
something.
Hearing stories about him telling his friends like something about his mother, like when his mother would leave the house and she had money, and his friends would, and I don't know, maybe that's the story. Maybe I'm mixing up something and adding something to it. But
yeah, he's just.
I didn't realize that was when he was champion.
Yeah,
he did it once
when he was champion, when he went back. But my favorite always was that it was an act with Mike Tyson.
Right.
If you've ever looked at his face when he gets mad, that's no act, my friend. That is one animal. I don't want to see him in a dark alley.
How far do you take an act?
Yeah.
Prison?
Biting a guy's ear, that's an act to make more money in boxing. The guy's making $30 million a fight.
Right.
Give me a break. Matt from Springfield here, he says his subject line is enough of Craig. I'm sorry, but after last week's ridiculous over-under of Tom Brady throwing for 3,000 yards in three games and yesterday's point of Dallas having no offense, Stan, the Asante Sam fan from Canada, should be suspended for at least four shows. His call and emails waste valuable minutes of my life. If you have so much free time to evaluate how many plays the Bears defense was on the field, then I have an assignment for you. Track down Dolly Parton's digits for me. Dolly Parton. What is it, 1982?
I know she's got big cojones, but yeah, she's kind of old.
No, he actually says, I have some infant childhood memories I want to relive, if you know what I mean. Darn, oh, you probably God. Won't be because she's... Because she is a woman. Only hunky football players deserve your time, right? So it's as Fred would say, email or on email or crime.
Yes.
So
Craig is now Stan.
Greg Easterbrook is Scott wants to talk about. He said, I read Easterbrook's article and did not get the impression he had it in for the Patriots, but rather he was being critical of the NFL's handling of the investigation. I say this because in the same article, he praised Bill Belichick for not kicking a field goal in the fourth quarter when the game was already won. But this article's on top of the one he already wrote that says Belichick won't be here. If you're writing Bill Belichick isn't going to be here, then you need to have some kind of proof for me. Because
then that's when they smoke it.
Why is he going to leave?
I agree with that. I agree with Tom on that. At this point, if you're going to speculate, he's now reportedly signed an extension. Okay. They haven't refuted it, so I gotta say this point that it's true. Okay. At this point, if you're writing that he's not going to be here next year or in the near future, bring me some proof as to why he's not going to be here. I think Tom's right on that one. What do you think? You're just that sick that you can't really even participate.
I got no
anymore?
Gas over here. I'm just like.
That's a first for Andy. He has no gas.
Well, there's a ton of things on the website. Nick says.
You're the only one that can make stupid jokes, by the way.
Yeah, that's my role here. But we all had our roles. You know about games that took place before 1996.
Nick says he doesn't
you
like.
You know about nothing.
Going back to the 40s.
I'm sorry, Tom. Now, I feel like I got chastised by Fred right there. He gave me the look.
Nick says that he does not like the website, but he's a Patriots fan. Good website or bad, he's going to it 3 to 5 times a week. So the 1.4 million or whatever does not mean that it's all good. In fact, anywhere near all good. So he's going to the website regardless, he said. So.
But there's another one that kind of falls in Fred's lap. You know, the website's no good. Oh, okay. Well, why?
He doesn't like it.
Why?
Ron from Raymond. I just pulled a Fred.
Raymond from Ron.
Since you aren't getting many emails, I figure it's a good time to ask a question. Are the Cowboys going to win Sunday? By the way, I have to agree with Craig. Wolfwork was pushed into Losman, but he still deserved the penalty. Looked like he knew he was pushed, so he figured he might as well take a shot.
Now we're all
take
in agreement.
Take a dive, yep.
I totally agree with Ron's assessment there.
The Cowboys always have trouble with the Rams. I think they'll win, but I think it's going to be a close one.
Rams are a little undermanned, too, without Steven Jackson.
That's what worries me. The Cowboys have been known, with that, especially with that idiot coach, they're probably looking ahead to the Patriots already. What happened to all the emails? Hang on.
Did you just delete them
all? No, I got them here.
There's a million of them.
He's
a monkey.
Okay, our buddy Stripper. He says, who is better? I always thought Bush was overrated. He's a
funny coming from you. That has a whole different connotation.
He's a scat back, Eric Metcalf, not the Gale Sayers ESPN compared him to. My boy Adrian Peterson is a machine. Who's the better running back? Thanks. I think the upside of Bush is phenomenal.
Bush might be a better offensive player.
Who's the better runner out of the backfield?
The running back.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, Peterson.
But who's the better running back? That might be Bush.
Bush has been a disappointment. I thought he was going to be better than what he's been.
I agree with that, but I think that he does more things than Adrian Peterson does.
Oh, yeah. But
even as a disappointment.
I've been very disappointed. I thought he was going to be more than he's been.
Yeah, I would.
And he's going to get his chance
now. I agree
now.
100% with your
assessment. Now he's going to have to take on a bigger load in the offense, make some plays.
Yeah, I thought that he was going to be more like that.
I know he caught 88 passes last year, but like 80 of them were insignificant.
And didn't make a lot of big plays.
You guys know how I felt about him. I think he's a big disappointment. Because
I agree.
I think you can see I don't care if you're not getting enough time, but you can see when someone's a star. I can look at Vince Young, and I don't care what anybody says. That guy's got it. He's a star.
I think Reggie Bush lacks confidence right now. When he was on a college football field, he didn't think there was a player on the field that could stop him. Now it's like he sees a guy and says, oh, I got to run around him. He's thinking rather than just going. And I think Vince Young still, he could walk on any field on earth, and he thinks he's the best player on the field.
Confidence, yes.
And I think Reggie Bush's confidence has been. I heard him talking about it, how, you know, you're running towards the sideline, and now you got defensive ends that are almost as fast as you. Well, I don't want to hear you admit it. You're supposed to be this dynamic playmaker.
Right.
Make a freaking play. And I think he's lost some of his confidence.
I agree with that. I think that's a good analogy. But yeah, I'm surprised. I thought he was going to be at some. I mean, like you said, he caught those passes, but where's the big plays? If Reggie Bush isn't providing you with big plays, then he's not doing what
he
you drafted
like
him to do.
And that's why I think that he has been a big disappointment. But I do still think that he does a lot of different things well.
Yes,
right. Just because he's a disappointment, that just shows you how much I thought of him. You know, I think we all thought of him coming out of college.
Sam from Denmark. Not that I'm not ecstatic about Randy Moss, but could he do a bit more with the yards after catch like Terrell Owens? After catching a pass, I threw in the Terrell Owens.
No, I'm just laughing that we're like he hasn't done enough.
after catching a pass, he doesn't seem to make the tackler miss very often like T.O. does. Nevertheless, I can't be happier about his production so far.
Tom's adding the.
I know he is. I just can't understand it. But
by the way, is Tom Brady having better protection in the pocket since the birth of his first child? I don't know what that means.
I mean, the offensive line has played well. If we want a serious answer, I don't know if that's what.
I don't think he's looking for a serious answer.
I don't think so either.
Protection.
So, what do you think about the yards after the catch with
Wait
Moss?
A minute. Can I tell a quick aside in that general? We won't say who we were talking about, whatever, but we were talking about a woman yesterday in Fred's car on the ride back from the TV show, and he goes, you know, maybe she's got problems down there.
Oh, God.
And I'm thinking, what does that mean? I said to him, I go, you know, with a man, when you say he's got problems, what do they call it, ED? But with a woman,
I don't have those problems.
ED, what's ED?
I don't even know.
But Fred Kirsch is... Sometimes we think he's back to being normal Fred, Mr. Meetings and important, and then he just takes 10 steps back where you say, this new Fred is going to get us all fired within a week.
Moss has also ended up in the end zone more often than not.
Yeah.
By the way.
He has lost a little
something.
There's
been at least three different plays that I can think of that I thought the loss of Minnesota would have been in the end
right.
zone.
But you guys would agree with me in all seriousness here that one of the reasons someone like T.O. looks like he's getting more yards after a catch because he catches more shorter passes over the middle.
Crossing.
That's more of what he does.
I watched that game the other night. He must have caught five in a row crossing the middle of the field.
Yeah, he does more crossing routes. So a guy like, you know who I think the king of it right
Jerry
now
Rice.
Is? Right now is Anquan Boldin. That guy catches a six-yard pass, man. He's gone.
But to be
and
fair,
I think
guys
like that are bigger.
There's been
stronger.
Chances for Moss to be gone that he wasn't.
I can think of three, and one of them in particular, he looked like he couldn't make a guy miss.
Right,
like he ran right into a form tackle, you know. And you're expecting Moss to do more.
Wow,
than
the
that.
Tide turned officially after the third week. We're criticizing the guy with 22 catches for 400.
No, but
absolutely
he is what he
not.
Is.
I'm saying, what did I say? He more often than not, he's ended up in the end zone.
And I have to be honest with you, the year he caught those 100 balls.
That's not really true.
Remember the year he caught the 100
five
passes?
Touchdowns on 20 catches.
That's it. Go ahead.
Where's your cap? Where's your water cap? Throw it at him.
Go ahead. What do you want?
Throw it at him.
Remember the year with the Randy ratio?
Yes.
And he caught all the. He didn't have a lot of those. You know what I mean? When he catches a pass, he doesn't have a lot of. Like a slant pass. He doesn't really go that far. He does sometimes when he's coming across the field when he had that speed, but he makes so many big plays down the field. That's what he does.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what Randy Moss is. He's not a guy who's going to take a 3-yard pass, and that's just not his game.
Shouldn't be either. I wouldn't be throwing it to him 3 yards.
And
that's why we got Wes Welker.
But I think that's part of the reason. Like, the Cowboys look to hit T.O.
Right.
over the middle for 5 yards. I don't think he really looked to do that much with Moss.
Yeah,
so.
They've been doing a lot of stuff with him. I saw him line up in the backfield a lot doing different things, and I just line up Randy Moss and tell him to run down the field, and I'll throw it.
There you go.
Seems
that's
to work.
All you got to do.
It's worked for about a decade.
Dan, he says, hey, guys, last week I began my email by suggesting that my question be just ignored had it already been discussed prior to my tuning in, and so it was promptly disregarded, and everyone laughed their heads off. If you ever want to disregard my question again, I'd much rather be blown up like that dude from South Carolina. So here comes the question, even though I'm sure you already want to blow me up. It's actually a pretty good question, so I'm going to read it.
Okay.
because we haven't talked about it. Through three games, has Brandon Merriweather done anything yet? I haven't noticed him doing anything. I know it might be early to expect anything from a rookie, but in your opinion, can we expect him to contribute to the defense this year? If not, what are your long-term expectations of him? I've probably already been blown up, but thanks.
I got to tell you, ideally, he doesn't have to contribute much this year because Rodney Harrison comes back, you have three safeties, and Randall Gay stays healthy. He's your nickel guy, so you have your corners. So if you have no injuries in an ideal world, Brandon Merriweather is asked to do very little.
Yeah, seventh defensive back by Andy's count right there.
Right.
And I think he's absolutely right. He has
that said, he's probably going to have to do something because the chances of all those guys staying healthy are pretty slim.
He's been the dime guy, right?
Right.
And they haven't really faced a really dynamic passing offense. I mean,
spread.
The Jets have a couple of big play guys with Coles and Cotchery, but they don't put four or five receivers on the field that make you account for them. The Chargers' wide receivers are awful, even though that's a good offense. And obviously with the backup quarterback last week, they were somewhat limited in how sophisticated they could get with the passing game. So he hasn't played a lot. He has been the dime guy.
Right.
I haven't really seen any glaring mistakes, but I think Andy's right. Don't you think, Tom? I mean, ideally.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything that's really stood out where I said, boy, he's not playing well.
Ideally, he doesn't play a whole lot on defense.
And that's perfect because he took so many reps at corner in the preseason. Now if you're going to really focus on him being a safety and a nickel and dime guy, he's practicing, getting more comfortable in the defense, those things. But like I said, my guess is at some point when Randall Gay goes on IR or there's going to be an issue and you're going to need him to make a play or two, and then it'll be interesting. And we had an Ask PFW yesterday that also posed another interesting question in terms of safety for next year. If Eugene Wilson's gone, because he is a free agent, if Rodney Harrison retires, which I would say is a legitimate possibility, is Merriweather going to be ready to step in, and how comfortable are you with James Sanders and Brandon Merriweather as your safeties? I'd say not very.
I was going to say my guess is a veteran comes in.
Yeah, me too.
If they indeed lose Wilson and Harrison, they sign a veteran somewhere.
Okay. Much to no one's surprise, no one agrees with me on T.O. because he doesn't play here. But let's be honest. I think Randy Moss is great, but I've always liked T.O. better because I like my receivers. I like Anquan Boldin. Like, I like those guys, the bigger guys. That's always been,
and I think that's
my
why
cup of tea.
I think that's why I take the other side because I'm the opposite. I don't really need to see the jacked up arms for my wide receivers.
I like it. But again, this is kind of like a Brady Manning argument. You can make arguments for both players.
I agree with that.
But I'm just telling people, if T.O. was here, all the fans would you'd love him because he'd be scoring touchdowns, and when he scored, he'd be doing the lights out dance, and you'd be thinking how great he was. But he says Tom has his head up his butt with his man love for T.O. No question about his production, toughness, and willingness to play. However, his hands have been a problem his entire career going back to San Francisco. He made the game-winning catch for San Fran in the playoffs, but he dropped four passes prior to that catch. But he did make the game winner. Catch the game winner. Seeing Moss these past three games.
Which one was Tom? Was that all the email or did
The
last part was Tom. I can always tell when
seeing
it's Tom.
Moss these past three games has been a revelation. Like it would have been if you've seen T.O. I'm just saying.
That's Tom. I picked that one up.
Most of our opinions on him have been formed more on what we've heard rather than what we've seen. Now, I can't speak for myself, but I didn't form any opinions on what I've heard. I've watched Randy Moss play for 10 years. Right. Haven't you guys?
Yes.
Like, seriously, nobody saw Randy Moss play?
I can't believe that. Wow.
Yeah, the guy's phenomenal. He's an unbelievable receiver. And I still think he's not at full speed yet. I haven't seen the explosive acceleration I saw when he was in his prime.
I don't think that's.
Do you ever
anymore.
Think that maybe that doesn't exist anymore?
Despite the 4.29 we were that's sold,
isn't that the reason for the word prime?
Yeah,
like no one here, despite what he does this year, thinks he's in his prime,
no.
right?
Right.
Because if he had Brady 5 years ago, then he would have broke every record in the book. You could forget about it. It could be gone with his age and injuries, but if it still exists and he's playing under control until he fully heals, wow. And if it doesn't exist, what he is now is still miles ahead of any receiver we've had in New England in my lifetime. No offense to Stanley Morgan, but Randy Moss is a 6'5 Stanley Morgan with better hands. Paul?
Got to agree with that.
How were Stanley
okay, well,
Morgan's
I was just,
hands?
I was young
Stanley
when Stanley Morgan,
Morgan
played.
Stanley Morgan had good hands, maybe better.
Straightaway speed?
I was going to say that, but I don't even know. in their prime. Now, Stanley Morgan was a track guy in college. I mean, he right. could absolutely fly. But not nearly, you know, he was a smaller guy, not nearly right. as big as Moss. And
yeah, Stanley Morgan's like, what, 5'10"?
Yeah, I think Randy Moss's hands, I can't really think of a guy off the top of my head that I would put in the same category.
I concur.
And we
I've
said
never
this,
seen a guy catch the ball as effortlessly as he does with just his hands.
We said this after the week one game that, like, you don't really remember Randy Moss ever dropping. The only time I can remember him dropping a pass is if he goes over the middle and he's kind of flinching to get hit.
Yeah.
And but you don't really see balls bounce off his right. hands. Yeah. He
now,
just has great hands.
In Stanley Morgan's defense, I watched the Patriots very closely as a kid, and you never watch a team like you do when you're a kid with the wide-eyed enthusiasm.
Right.
I can't remember very many passes Stanley Morgan ever dropped either, but
I bet he did.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
The only pass I can remember Moss dropping in person was the one along the sideline that he then kicked the ball.
This is how I always felt about Moss. I think he's the most physically gifted receiver that's ever played, and if you took his talent with Jerry Rice's heart and determination, he would have been unstoppable. He didn't have that.
Right.
He just, what you say, Andy, a lot is he just had that talent where he knew he could walk on
it's
the field and be great. If he ever really worked extremely hard like some of those guys like Favre and Emmett and Rice, he would have been he would have broke every record in the book,
right.
but he never got
it's
to that
like
point.
The Tyrone Poole thing, except Tyrone Poole
sucked. Wouldn't have been fair. But
if God had given him height, it wouldn't have been fair because he had everything else.
I always think of those kinds of things in terms of Jerry Rice, and all these. How important is it for all these guys where they wound up playing and who they wound up playing with? I mean, no one's saying that Jerry Rice is overrated because if you say that, you're just playing an idiot.
Right.
Okay. But if Jerry Rice got drafted by the Patriots in that same
I think
era,
there's a lot to that.
You know, who knows if Jerry Rice was just like a borderline Pro Bowl type.
But
know?
He also...
Like a Stanley Morgan.
He
Maybe
also
he was
benefited
a Pro Bowl.
From... How would it have been different if he had gone to, like, USC and been a star in college? And, you know what I mean? Like, going to a smaller school. How did that play into his mentality of, I need to prove something to somebody and... Did
but
that light some sort of a fire?
That's another aspect of how.
That's
these
how you don't know
change.
How any of these.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, you guys.
Some
are,
of these guys
right.
could be created by some peewee
Absolutely.
Coach who does something, or high school coach the way he treats.
Maybe
him.
He had Andre Tippett as his peewee coach and
was 0-4.
He was looking for players
right.
that were tough.
And now, Paul, like Joe Montana, obviously had something. He had the it.
Right.
But what if he doesn't get drafted by Bill
drafted
Walsh?
By the Cardinals?
Yeah. Does he ever become Joe Montana? I think
would
we
add
could,
an
I think
SH
could,
to that it.
I think you could make an argument for virtually anybody. Emmitt Smith is a phenomenal back, but if
I think
he didn't
of that
go to
stuff
the Cowboys,
all the time, you know,
sugar, honey, ice
Jerry Rice.
Never
Jerry
know.
Rice plays on the other side was John Taylor, a very very good wide mm-hmm. receiver in his own right, the best maybe
tight end,
maybe the best quarterback who ever played, maybe the best offensive mind of the modern era, with a team that was perennially among the best two or three in football for 15 years. One of the best two or three teams in football. You know, hit a lot of advantages.
But you can
know.
Do that with everybody.
No, I know. That's why I say I often
think
Tom
Brady hadn't ended up here with Bill Belichick.
The only guy you really can't do it with is Barry Sanders. Because I think
he actually did play on one
and,
of those teams.
Right.
What would he be like if he was on so-and-so?
But yeah, he's the other.
He just had that special talent that, I mean, I don't think he could. I've never right. seen anybody run like Barry Sanders.
And he put a team,
day.
What, 4 or 5 years in a row on his,
on
back,
his back
into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But that's the game you can play with coaches, players, organizations.
Yeah.
Just everything. Like,
everything has to fit.
Right. And there's so much. I know no one wants to say it, but there's luck involved with all of it.
And, Paul,
well, I know. That's why I like thinking about that.
I stuff. Apologize to the emailer because I wanted to read this, and I think I deleted it. It was the one I was going to read that time when you said, did you delete all the emails? Their question was, how do you think Drew Bledsoe would have performed with this team this year? So I'll let you answer that.
Bledsoe to Moss wouldn't have been a bad
well,
because he can throw the deep ball.
Bledsoe right now, obviously.
No. Let's say he's in his prime.
Drew, yeah, good
but
Drew.
If you're going good Drew could have broken all kinds of records with this offense.
I agree.
And I know that I'm biased with that, but this offense kind of plays into all the strengths that good Drew had. Good protection and great, and great weapons. I mean, that's Bledsoe in a nutshell when he was at his best. Now, I don't know how, if he would be any more productive than Brady, because I just think Brady makes such good
right.
decisions so quickly. I think Brady still would be better with all these with these guys, but I do think that Drew Bledsoe would have fared pretty well with a guy like Randy Moss.
Well, apparently, this is the game's a foregone conclusion. I haven't gotten one email about it, but this Reggie Bush, Adrian Peterson thing has taken on a life of its own.
I love Adrian Peterson.
Well, someone's yelling at you, Paul.
Oh, that's okay.
Sandeep says, Paul, The question was very simple. Who is the better running back, Peterson or Bush? The three things a running back has to do is run the ball, block blitzers, and catch the ball.
Okay, then Reggie Bush.
Mostly, but not always, out of the backfield. From what I've seen of Peterson, he is better in all three phases than Bush. Bush doesn't have good field vision when running. He is usually caught behind the line of scrimmage, running left to right when he is supposed to run forward. For the hype and where he was picked in the draft, he has been a huge disappointment. I won't call him a bust, as this is just his second year. But just look at the numbers posted by some of the other first-round running backs from the last year, and you will see just how much Bush has disappointed.
I totally agree that Reggie Bush has been a disappointment. We talked about that for a half hour. But that's not the question. Is Reggie Bush a disappointment? Because the answer to that, I think, is yes. But the question is, if you're asking about all the things that running backs do, and you're talking about catching passes out of the backfield, blocking, running from scrimmage, and doing all those things, I think Reggie Bush is better than Adrian Peterson. I think Adrian Peterson is a terrible receiver.
I'll take Peterson.
Okay, well, Strippers agrees with Andy. He said, for those who say Bush catches the ball, sure, 16 catches for 70 yards for no touchdowns. That's 4.4 big yards per reception.
He's been a huge disappointment.
Adrian Peterson playing with the worst quarterback in the NFL. Eight catches for 160 yards and a TD. Yes, that's a Randy Moss,
all
like 20 yards per reception.
All of them on one play.
Adrian averages 4.2 yards per carry. Bush averages 2.8 lousy yards per carry. Eat it, Paul.
All of them on one play.
Damn it.
Adrian Peterson had 70 of those yards on one play. On a play, by the way, that he bobbled about seven times before he finally caught it.
I thought you blamed that on my boy.
It was a terrible.
Now you blaming both of them?
I'm just trying to say I don't think he's a great receiver. I love Adrian Peterson. This is one of those things you end up in an argument you don't want to be in. I love Adrian Peterson.
Peterson is not the receiver Bush is. Anybody who thinks differently is kidding themselves.
But I just that's all I'm saying.
I'm not looking for him to be that because he's not that.
But that's
I'm looking to go like this every once in a while and just dump it off to
him. And that's why
that's all I'm looking for.
But that's why I asked the question, are you talking
you
in terms of actually running back? Because I think there's no comparison there. Adrian Peterson is 1,000 times better than Reggie Bush.
I agree.
But I think as much better he is running the ball, Bush is better than him catching it.
See, I'm not sold, especially coming out of the backfield.
He can't catch the ball, Adrian Peterson. Did you ever watch any games in college?
Yes.
He couldn't catch.
I think you can train a monkey to catch the ball out of the backfield. Now, if you want him to line up split wide like Reggie Bush, then he's not going to do that. But I'm not going to ask him to do that.
What did you
lining up behind the quarterback, I think he's fine.
What did you think of some of the guys that we've seen in the past try to catch the ball? That used to say anybody can catch the ball.
Like who?
Like Lawrence Maroney, for example.
I think he's getting better at it. I don't think he's your best option right now, but I think if you needed him to be that, you could get him to be that. I just don't think it's that hard to catch the ball out of the backfield, especially with Tom Brady throwing. Maybe my boy Tavares Jackson puts a little more pressure on you, but...
All right.
Mensa from the Bronx. Hi, guys. Great job. Do you think the team should try to feature Dante Stallworth, too? I know we have Moss, but still, we should start going his way a little before he begins pouting. Is there something wrong with him as usual?
No.
There's nothing wrong with him.
He had a knee, but he's healthy. He's playing.
But I don't think that you go to a guy to prevent him from pouting.
No.
I
mean, and they've thrown him a ball a few times, so he talked about it today.
Yeah,
his time will come. He didn't seem like he was pouting, I'll be honest with you. Although
he always seems happy.
He's just a guy.
I think he's been a revelation, to be honest with you.
I think he's one of those guys who is always happy.
Right. Always happy.
And that's what he was billed as when he came here.
That's what we were
told. People told us that, and we were like, well, why is he sort of bouncing around here? Why didn't the Eagles try to re-sign him? What's going on there?
It's funny because everybody always says, don't make your judgments on these guys before you actually get a chance to know them.
Right.
And try to, don't listen to everything that was said about him has been exactly the way it is. Everybody said, you're going to love this guy. He's very personable. He's a great guy to talk to. He's always in a good mood, always happy. And rarely has a scouting report been as accurate. I think he's been a revelation. I don't have any problems whatsoever with the fact that his production has been down because everybody else's has been up so high.
Right.
At some point, they'll take Moss away, and then they'll need Stallworth to do something. And I think he'll be ready.
Okay, well, I have to read this one because the title is it's from Jason. It's Paul equals asshat. he says, and he's actually, I should mention, he says that the site is fine. It just takes some time getting used to. And he said on another note, the show this week is much improved over the past 2 weeks. Keep it up. Lastly, tell that asshat, I think it was Paul, who equated being a fan to going to games. Sorry, Paul, some of us do not live in the area. Also, being an active military member, I have been out of the country for a lot of the time. You want to know what a fan is? Try getting up at 3 a.m. when you are in Iraq and watch play-by-play ticker for a preseason game. I am back in the States now and plan on flying up for the Pats-Skins game that will cost me well over $3,000. And Bill, we trust. Asshat.
Well, that's, you know, I hate doing the Tom here, but I'm going to do the Tom. That's one of the most idiotic emails we've ever gotten.
I liked it.
When did I ever say that being a fan is going to a game?
I don't know.
When did you ever say
being a fan? Are you asking me questions?
Well, I'm going to go around the table. When have you ever said that being a fan means going to games?
I don't know.
Tom, when did you ever say that being a fan goes to games?
I'm 108.
The guy is obviously
not listening.
I think
being a fan is sitting at home and watching all the
games
with your friends.
The guy is obviously not listening to anything that's going on. He somehow thinks this show is any different than the last 2 weeks. Do us a favor. Stay home. Don't go to the game. Save your $3,000. That way we won't have to get a memorial statue for you to commemorate your
you
one.
You used to get mad at Tom when
you're going
to
say, good thing he's not being like Tom.
I just said I usually... You guys don't listen either. I said I usually
nobody listens to Paul.
I said I usually don't like being like Tom, but I'm going to do it in this case.
I've been pretty good lately.
I think that is idiotic. Do us all a favor. We don't need a martyr at Gillette Stadium. Don't show up. Save your $3,000 and stay home.
You getting this stuff, Gary?
Paul, I got to say something. I think I've been pretty good lately with the emailers,
but that
was damn funny.
Like
if I'm that funny when I'm yelling at emailers, maybe I should start doing it more.
Hey,
I like that.
Thanks, Tom.
I
wasn't listening.
We don't need a martyr.
We don't need a martyr. Stay home. No one cares how much money you're spending to come to a game.
Man.
I never said that. You're only a fan if you go to games.
I'm not going to allow you to drag this program into a morass of negativity.
We need him to email back, though, more specifically.
Well, I think he's saying because I've been to a million games
and I've stayed home to watch millions
of
games.
Paul,
who cares?
I think it's because you say you're a bigger fan than Fred.
Fan than Fred.
Well, Fred's a fraud.
Fred only cares because he now works for the team. That's what makes me a bigger fan.
But I think
that's
probably
my point,
where he
not
got
because
it.
I went to games.
Can't move.
Can't do this. Can't operate.
All right.
Can't navigate.
Sleeping monkey.
Kyle from New York. Is that Kyle that we know? Because if it is, I'm going to kick the crap out of him.
It is. This is the dumbest web.
I dare one of you guys to ask Belichick in an upcoming press conference if he'd pull his starters in week 14 if they had already secured the first round bye. I don't think so.
Nope.
Paul's buddy again.
The same guy wrote back already?
Yeah. You got into it with Fred last week and said, how many games have you been to? Fred said, what the F does that have to do with anything? That's probably what Fred said. I don't remember.
That is probably what he said, but that's not the point. And as usual, the listeners sometimes miss the point. But
Now all our listeners are idiots.
Fred was trying to say that he's a bigger fan than I am, and I would say that he doesn't care at all about the Patriots until he started working for them, where I've been a Patriots fan my whole life. That's why I would say I'm a bigger fan. Even though I know, Andy, I'm late to the party, and now that I'm a homer and I'm on the bandwagon, now you understand why I get upset.
This week. He takes this stuff a lot more seriously than I do.
Well, you don't take anything seriously today. You're just sitting over there like a bump on a log, not doing anything.
I just contribute, and then I go home. I'll be honest with you, I don't think about these emailers when I leave here. No offense, guys.
Who's thinking about him when you leave here?
Except for Stripper. I occasionally think about him because I'm using his stuff.
Oh, man. Angus, he wants to talk about the defensive line. Am I the only one that thinks the Patriots' defensive linemen are not only good but dangerous? Do these guys have bets in the
Lossman
locker room seeing who can put divisional quarterbacks out for the most weeks? If they do, Vince Wilfork is winning, putting Lossman out for 2 weeks. That's funny that they, you know, make fun of that because I know someone who used to have a bet like that. It was Jack Tatum,
right.
And he put and now it wasn't funny when you talk it like that. Right. So
well, it wouldn't be funny if Dwayne Robertson had this bet with Brady.
Okay. Anyways, a serious question. Despite Richard Seymour being an anchor against the run, etc., don't you think Jarvis Green should stay in for the rest of the season, even when Seymour is healthy enough to play? Green has already racked up 3 sacks, which is only one behind Seymour's entire total for last year. He seems to get great pressure and cause a bunch of negative tackles. Why not keep him on as the starter?
Because he's not as good.
Well, listen. You know that I said that Seymour was a little overrated last year, but, I mean, come on. Now we're benching him for Jarvis Green. I meant overrated to the point where he's considered the best defensive lineman in football. Right. That's what I said. Well, I need to see him make a few more plays if he's the best. But to say that you don't want him in the starting lineup anymore?
And Jarvis Green is doing no different than he's always done. He's always had good success when he's filled in. He's always had sacks. But you know what? Every time Richard Seymour comes back, Bill Belichick does the smart thing and puts Richard Seymour in the game. Because you know why? Because Richard Seymour's pretty good.
Well, don't you think James Sanders is playing well?
Yeah.
So should we, you know, keep Harrison out? Because
no. And I think it's the same thing. Ronnie Harrison can make plays that James Sanders
right.
can't.
And that's no offense
James
to
Sanders,
Sanders.
James Sanders, God forbid I use the phrase, is a nice little player. But I think he's a nice little player.
I don't
know
why you have to continue to be derogatory toward the Patriots, Andy.
Just saying, he's a nice little player.
No, I agree with you guys. I mean, Jarvis Green is a complimentary player, and Richard Seymour is an anchor.
Right.
He is a guy, you know, Seymour, Warren, and Will Fork are among the best 5% at their position.
And the other issue is, not that I'm going to say everything based on 3 weeks, but Ty Warren had, what, 8.5 sacks last year with Richard Seymour playing with him, and he's got a half a sack right now. So maybe Ty Warren can do
Warren
some more
things.
Warren
is getting a lot of the attention that Seymour normally gets.
And now, Jarvis Green isn't.
And Warren
obviously didn't have a sack.
Warren is still a good player. I'm not saying that, you know, he's being exposed by the fact. He's still a good player. He's still active.
You know what? No three of those guys are nice little players. They're more than that.
They're all very, very good at what they do. Jarvis Green is a
nice
little
player. Nice guy, too.
Great guy. Had a wine tasting last week. Did you see that?
Did you go?
God, no. I don't like wine.
Oh, he was picking apples.
I was picking apples.
I like a nice little Riesling.
Thomas says about
sweet. It's good.
Thomas says about
got the look.
Thomas says about
no, you got one too.
Moss and T.O. Both receivers are a freak of nature. You cannot argue either one. Both receivers would thrive in New England with Brady. Peterson is the better back this year. Bush is a solid back all around.
I think Randy Moss is a freak of nature. I think T.O. is not a freak of nature. With nature being,
I
the
agree
keyword.
With that.
What was that? Email? Who was that?
Thomas.
Good stuff.
That was a good email.
T.O.
I lost $50 because of T.O.'s not being a freak of nature when someone said he'd play in the Super Bowl, and I said, didn't he break his leg? He don't come back in 2 months from a broken leg. I'm sorry. So he can go in all the, what is that, hydraulic chambers he wants.
Right.
We know how he got back to that Super Bowl. No question about that. Whatever it is,
hydraulics
it's stupid.
Is like what lifts things up that are heavy.
The only thing about that one, and we actually looked this up on the show, was that immediately the day that happened, the doctors put his return at 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
And he basically hit it. So I don't know if that's because they were taking into account some
HGH.
Freak of nature, you know, aspect of it, which I know that doesn't heal injuries.
Doesn't do anything. Everybody takes it. Does nothing, though.
Hey, it's kind of like, you know, filming defensive signals on the
side.
It doesn't do anything to help you, but, you know, everybody's doing it.
Ron says, right on, Paul, so maybe this will calm you down a little bit, see what he's got to say. If you're only a fan if you go to the games, the Patriots and every other team in the league would only have 60,000-some-odd fans. The average fan is lucky to get tickets to a game today, never mind being able to afford to go.
Word. There's millions of fans.
I don't know if that guy was taking another shot at me or
that's tough to,
trying
it's
to
tough
me.
To say. All right, we got about 5 minutes left. I'm out of emails.
He's not the best.
Web radio Patriots.
Oh, wait, no. We got one from...
What are all those three up there?
They're all about the website.
Oh. All those three.
It's all the website.
There's four emails up there that are... but they're all about the website, evidently.
Okay, here's one. This is from Gary Gradecki.
Craig said you didn't read it and he wanted me to forward it back to you.
No, I was just about to read it, Craig. Jesus. Well, whatever Craig, you can say on here.
You know he's very sensitive.
Craig says, Gary only blows me up because he's used to blowing stuff up, his girlfriend for one. I personally think it's a good thing it is a quiet locker room, not a lot of drama injuries to discuss. Food for thought, since you guys don't have any real food in front of you, what kind of celebration do you think Chad will do if he scores on us? Do you think he will try to bust on us like T.O. did? Paul, anybody who has listened to you as long as I have would have to be a friggin' moron to call you a homer. That wasn't Andy, was it? Just out of curiosity, how would Bledsoe have played in Brady's place this year? That was the email.
That was the email.
You know I have been a Bledsoe fan also, named my son Drew. Speaking of names, was Andy born Andy or Andrew? I think Andy might be his middle name. Could have sworn he was born something that rhymes with Rick.
That's good.
Craig Homer.
What did I do to Craig? First of all, Craig, go screw yourself, because I was defending you when Paul said, don't come back. No, we don't give a rat's butt about Craig. I defended you, Craig. So, Craig, go screw yourself.
Just so you know, I'm glad he doesn't take these things seriously and get upset.
Well,
by the way,
my favorite thing
but
is,
I didn't tell him that. Go, who gives her? I said, yeah, if he doesn't want to call in, don't let him call in.
I might rhyme with in. What was it you said? I rhymed with
the
Chick.
My favorite,
Rick.
You rhyme with bunt.
My favorite thing is when the emailers get us mixed up. Now somebody is yelling at me for my man crush on Drew Bledsoe. I don't. That's Paul.
I have the man.
Yeah, it says, Tom, can you please clear it up for all the listeners that the Seymour situation is not the Bledsoe situation? Your man crush for Bledsoe notwithstanding. Cheers, Sandeep. That Sandeep does not like you, Paul.
And Tom has a man crush on Ben Watson. And just his body, not his
tipping.
And
I don't understand the thing with Seymour and Bledsoe. What is that?
Because the situation being that Jarvis Green's better, I guess.
Oh.
Like Tom Brady
Sandeep
was better.
So Sandeep is the one who said that? That Jarvis Green is better than Seymour?
I guess.
That would make a lot of sense.
Jarvis Green is not Tom Brady. Jarvis Green has had his opportunities over the years, makes plays. He's one of those, what does Bill say, per play basis production.
Right, which, by the way,
which is
his
fine.
Productions, if he starts every game, his production's going to end up being the same as it does every year when he only plays situationally.
He's a very good role player, backup. They're lucky to have him for these situations, but beyond that, let's not make it more than it is.
Okay, strippers actually does say eat it, Paul. This is not me. It's eat it, Paul, about Adrian Peterson. He had a 60-yard TD reception, not 70, as Paul said.
Sorry.
That leaves 100-yard receivings for 7 catches. Get your calculator, Paul, and let me know when that yard per catch is almost 13,
right? You're right.
Eat it, Paul.
We're not in jeopardy of losing our passwords, are we?
Yeah, strippers. This is Paul Perillo, not Tom Casale.
You can give them mine because I don't use them. But anyway, he said he's a better receiver. You're right. Adrian Peterson's a better receiver than Reggie Bush. You're right.
That's what strippers claim.
You're right. He's right.
Okay.
It's asinine, but you're right.
All right.
A lot of animosity on this show today.
Why am I the only one that's not allowed to get upset, by the way?
Who's
upset? Because you actually annoy me way more than any of the emailers are.
What did
why
I
do you just keep laughing at me?
Because I think
I
it's
funny
when you get worked up.
But why can you
just
get
like you thought
up?
It was funny when Tom and I were fighting yesterday. But that wasn't okay? I mean, that was okay when you think it's funny when we fight?
No, we were really fighting.
So we can't really laugh
first
at you for getting worked up.
I thought
up.
It was funny that Tom threw a water cap.
You
at
thought
me.
It was funny that we were fighting. Okay, thank you.
No, not that you guys
and now
were
I think it's funny that you're fighting with emailers.
I thought the singular thing that was funny was Tom throwing a water cap at you. That was very out of character. I thought that was funny.
If well,
that
I don't think it was out of character. The guy's a hothead.
If that offended you in any way, I apologize.
No, it didn't. Because I'm not sensitive like you.
But you're
never
making,
thrown at
you're
anything
making
at
fun
you
of me.
Oh, you're still a hothead.
You're making fun of me for getting upset at emailers, and then 30 seconds later, you're screaming at Craig.
So?
So I just don't understand that. What's so funny about
I don't know. You're sensitive. You get sensitive about everything.
I better not read this one then.
Read it.
Oh, I don't mind the email.
From Sandeep. Sorry, Tom. I was referring to Paul. I was actually saying Jarvis will not replace Seymour, and that's why this is unlike that Bledsoe situation where he was replaced by Tom Brady.
Right.
So.
That's exactly right.
I still don't understand that email, but.
Well, now what's going on?
John Rook's here.
Andy?
Whatever. The Craig of.
What up?
Patriots.com radio.
The Craig of Patriots.com radio. Is that me? What did I do to deserve that remark?
You're a homer.
You could not have done anything to deserve that remark.
Okay. I'm a homer.
I was simply, you know, comparing their love and adoration for the Patriots.
Whose love?
You.
Yours and Craig's.
Why all of a sudden, what did I say that, you know, gives you an idea that I have love and adoration for the
know.
Patriots?
There's another one getting overly sensitive. I guess I should just stop.
No, I'm just curious. I mean, was it something I said?
I hope you didn't plan on coming in and talking about this game this week.
No.
Okay. Nobody,
no
really.
One cares.
Nobody
not a single person
cares about the Bengals.
Since we don't care about that, let's 2 weeks.
Okay.
Oklahoma, Texas, who wins?
Oklahoma.
Okay. At least you know what you're talking about. I'll give you that.
I'm going to wish for and hope for otherwise.
I mean, anything
could
happen.
But if
series,
I had to, you know, break it down and look at it, I'm saying, yeah, I think Oklahoma's right now. What they've done offensively is stupendous with a redshirt freshman at quarterback. I'm floored by that because usually, you know, it takes freshmen, you know, a little while to acclimate, and he apparently has enough pieces of the puzzle around him to be able to, you know, kind of hand the ball off and just put the ball up and target. And now we'll find out how much, you know, losing their defensive end is going to hurt them. You know, he's out for the year, but I don't think it'll be enough for them to lose to Texas. Like I said, I wish, I hope, and I will root otherwise. However, my smarts tell me Oklahoma will probably win that game.
So what about this game? I mean, I think we had the closest we got to talking about the game through the emails was what will Chad Johnson do if he scores a touchdown? I mean, that's
all we got.
We got a ton of emails today.
No one wants to talk about
the Bengals. Here's what we need to do. Okay, well, that's fine. And I understand why a little bit. There's going to be a certain amount. I think you guys have to realize there's going to be a certain amount of apathy that's going to set in here. If this team continues to win and there's nothing really to complain about. I mean, we did this during the 21-game winning streak on our playbook show. We had what I affectionately called Nitpick Tuesday, where you couldn't do anything positive. And if you said anything positive, you were basically, you know,
well,
we ran you out.
It was, why can't Randy Moss break away? He hasn't broken away in broken tackles.
Okay. Well, but this is the kind of stuff. This is the kind of stuff we're going to get. Maybe we should turn this into a Chad versus Randy escapade, and who can, you know,
we
already show dance
that
the other
for a couple weeks from now with a T.O.
Oh, with T.O.?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's great then, you know, that we have this to look forward to with
Chad
now, and in a couple of weeks we get it with T.O.
better, and they think that I don't think Chad Johnson.
No, see, here, T.O. is much better.
Thank you.
T.O. is much better. Unfortunately, I can't believe I'm agreeing with
voice
Tom.
Voice of reason here.
I'm finding myself a little.
Two voices of idiots.
I'm a little shocked. Now, wait a second. In terms of his football playing abilities or his ability to showboat?
No, just football playing
abilities. Football abilities?
Yeah. We think he has significantly worse hands.
Oh, were you talking about as a showboat?
Over Chad Johnson? You're talking about comparing him and Chad?
Randy Moss and Terrell Owens.
Oh, Randy and Terrell.
Yeah. Like, I think T.O.'s the better overall receiver because he goes over the middle more. They like Moss because of his hands and his deep play, you know, deeper.
I think those two receivers, while
it's a tough call. I mean,
they play in a very different way.
Yes, they do. And receivers. I think in that regard, they're kind of different receivers. If you're looking for someone to go over the middle, then maybe T.O.'s your guy. But if you're looking for someone to stretch the field, I definitely think Moss is your
no
guy.
One better than
and
Moss.
There's no one better than
and,
that.
And Andy and I think that Moss catches the ball so much better than T.O.
I agree.
That gives him an edge.
That
but
I agree with.
So who are you picking?
It's one of those things that goes
blocking,
back.
I need a name right now.
Don't forget about, hey, blocking.
I just said they do different things.
Don't forget about blocking.
I'm not asking for different things. Moss or Owens?
Owens is a more physical receiver.
You can only take one, Moss or Owens.
Moss.
You stinking homer. That's it for us. John Rook coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Whether it's football, Irish drunks, or vacuums, Andy Hart lays down the law.
Isn't he awesome, you guys? Dude, he just goes around imposing his will on people. He's my idol.
Patriots.com Radio.